Podcast Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.thegologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow thegologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
Good morning. This is the Fakeologist speaking. It is 7/11/2020, July 11th. Year of our Lord 2020, 7 and 11 are both magic numbers. Can't wait to find out what our programmers have in store for us today in the world. Although 7/11 is almost over in Australia, and I'm talking to Rollo from Australia, Sydney, Newcastle.
G'day, mate. Newcastle.
Good
yes,
day.
That's right. And I can you start off with a congratulations.
Newcastle.
Okay. Yep, can I start off with congratulations? That was a wonderful chat with Hoi Polloi or DEFCON X or what's I used to know him as Max.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Very kind.
Author of the Victim Report, good friends with Simon Shack, and you've met him in real life.
Absolutely. The Victim Report is possibly the seminal piece on the 9/11 hoax. I don't think anything is more important than that concept. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Without victims, what do you got? A bad movie. A really bad movie.
Yeah.
It was a
bad
movie.
The way he went through all those JPEGs, and the metadata in the JPEGs, I mean, yeah, you have to be a clever guy to do that, and it was fantastic, yeah.
He saw patterns in the CNN 9/11 Memorial website. He saw how it was automated to create the JPEG / the web page. He saw the pattern, and that's when he decided, well, what if they just made up these people for the most part? I know we're told there's a couple real names on the list that people can identify with from the culture creation business, and they're not all going to be done exactly the same way, because as you know, there are 11 different ways that we've found to simulate a death, and that's on fakeologist.com. So for the most part, they look like manufactured people and not really well manufactured people. Today, of course, it could be done way better with digital technology that is so hard to tell the difference. Like, even in 2010, I'm listening to Marcus Allen's Vault, his audio archives. And
yeah, big shout-out to him. Big shout-out to him. He's the guy that wanted to punch me in the nose. But he was on Hoax Syndicate there for a while. And big shout-out to him. I remember Truth in 7 Minutes. You were saying earlier that if you'd listened to Marcus, you wouldn't have started Fakeologist.com. Can you talk about that?
If I had heard his previous audios, he started his audios, he says, on 9/11/2008. Now, of course, I didn't find them until much later when he started advertising them. I had no idea because he was on a little website called TalkShoe, which you can't really search 9/11 and bring up his audios back in the day. Even today, of course, it's not really good to search, so his audios basically explained and broke down the entire 9/11 scenario with controlled opposition, websites, forums, movies, everything about it. He broke it down. He had the whole thing figured out on 9/11/2008, which is 7 years after the big event. So had I listened to what he said, I would have just said, okay, I guess I don't really need to explore it because this is the most sensible explanation for what happened, and I don't need to look any further by starting a website to see if there's other people that are looking into it, because he pretty much had it solved, wrapped it up. He was even saying in 2008, well, he doesn't even look into it anymore because it was just a movie. There's really nothing else to do. And, yeah, he was right. He pretty much, there was nothing else left to do because he figured it out. So had I heard all that, I would have listened to it and probably gone back to sleep after that. Just say, okay, that explains it. Goodbye.
Blue pilled yourself. What I used to like about Talk Show was when it went dun, 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 recorded live. And that sounded so much like Marcus Allen, his voice. You know, the recorded live.
It was very similar. He said many times it was not him. He doesn't own Talk Show. Talk Show is another one of these services that probably cost quite a bit of money. I think Marcus said the guy told him, he talked to the owner, and he said it cost $10,000 a month to run, which, it's possible. It seems a little high. Maybe back in the day, hardware was a little more expensive, but why would you start a service that the million-dollar question is always, why would you start a business where you can't make money? And actually, for tax reasons, you cannot run a business and lose money, as far as I know, in Canada, year after year, to create a loss to offset taxes somewhere else. That's illegal. You can't just start a business to lose money. But we have our Zion.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not an accountant, I'm not into tax, but let me, I mean,
you don't need to be an accountant, you could look it up.
If it wasn't for Talk Show, I would never have heard of Chris Kendall. I wouldn't, you know, you got your start on Talk Show, I think now you're more important than ever with Fake YouTube and with this COVID thing. It's more important than ever that your voice is heard. And I'm just going to go and get another drink, but
all right.
You've got a glass of water in your hand, no doubt.
I need one. I'm drying out. It's very hot here.
Oh, it is too. That's right. It's in your summer. I'll be back in a second, all right? Keep going.
It's summer here. We're on the other side of the world. Who's here? It's Van Tassel here.
Hey, Ab, I was quickly going to ask you, while Roll is away, that Resilio Sync thing.
Yes.
How did I get started with it?
Well, did you click the link?
Yes. I got it installed on my desktop. I'm just wondering how you get the paths going and stuff.
There's nothing to do. If you connect it, actually, when did you click the link? Because I have to approve you as a connection.
Oh, I just
so
thought,
I'm not,
saw it on your Discord and I took the link from there.
I know, but when did you click the link?
About 20 minutes ago.
Okay, because I'm not near my desktop. What happens is, I have to approve the connection because I can't just have anyone connecting to the directory. Otherwise, because that I created the link so you can add and subtract anything in that directory, and anyone who joins that directory can do the same. So don't put a copy of what you want in that directory. Don't put all your files there. Because anyone can delete them out of that directory. So only put a copy of what you want others to look at. Make sure you have another copy in another directory.
Can I say good day to Van Tassel? Good day, mate.
Good day, Roma.
How are you?
I'm okay, dude. I'm hungover.
Oh, good on you, man. You're from Scotland. Have you started Craigbot?
No, actually. Can you do it? Or do you want me to do it?
Can you do it if it's not too much trouble, just in case we don't lose it?
Yeah, you're right. Give me a minute.
You're right, mate. So, Van Tassel, I love Scotland. I mean, I've never enjoyed myself. When I went to the UK in 1999, Wales was nice. Ireland, beautiful, but Scotland, the islands. We went almost up to the Outer Hebrides and the beautiful castle there on what's the castle that's built in the lake, you know, that was in Highlander?
Oh, I don't know. There's hundreds of castles.
Oh, yeah, but this one's in the middle of, there's a big sort of stone bridge, and the castle's
right.
in the actual lake, yeah. It's
right.
Highlander. I don't know if you know, what's the movie that you remember, Braveheart, right?
I've never watched that, no. And my middle name's Wallace.
Yeah, go. Oh, you have what,
William Wallace?
Yeah.
Is that you, Rick? Is that
yes,
you, Rick?
Yes.
How are you, mate? That mate, Van Tassel. Have you ever spoken to him?
Yeah. No, I haven't spoken to him yet, but I love his voice. He's got a great, I love the Scottish brogue. Yeah, it sounds good, man.
Well, let me introduce you. This is Exoteric 64.
Rick, just say Rick.
Yeah, Rick.
I heard you. Rick. As they say in Liverpool.
How's your week been, Rick? How's your week been?
I'm babysitting three dogs and two cats and two axolotls. Can you believe it? Have you ever had an axolotl before? Axolotl's the walking fish. So I'm just looking after a house. So yeah, so I'll come back on in a minute. I'll just organise things and I'll be back to chat.
Oh, I'm glad you're here. Hopefully we'll get Bellaset and the Golden Skid Mark tonight, but Van Tassel.
Yeah, well, it's only 10 to 8 from what I can see, or 7 minutes to 8. So
we haven't even got Craigbot in here yet, so we might even need now be recording.
Yeah.
There we go.
get Mr. Spike Holmes.
Hey, Rick, how are you?
Hey, Mr. How's Canada going? How's that beautiful country of Canada going with this COVID-19?
It's going. We haven't had our Melbourne stage three drill yet. We're looking to Australia to lead us into.
I've just come back down the gutter, down the toilet. Yeah, I've been in Sydney City today in markets, and I've been in the main city, and you would never know anything. So it's, apart from the fact you can't get a, when you go to get in a lift in an elevator, it's got one person only unless you're with your family. So basically you're never going to get a lift because every lift is full of people, and you just got to get used to doing stuff.
I was in the lake yesterday. The waves were crashing. There was a beautiful young girl that was shrieking in the wave because she loved the waves crashing, and she kept getting in and out of the water as if to pretend she was on that old show called Baywatch. And the thing that's different from Baywatch to now, she'd go up to her bag on the beach. She knew I was watching her. And thank God my daughter was ignoring me, even though I bring her to watch me so I don't drown, but she's playing on her phone the whole time. She's not a lifeguard, but it wouldn't help because she wasn't watching anyway. But anyway, I was watching this girl. She'd get out of the water. She'd get her phone, come back in the water with her phone. I think she was videoing herself with the waves crashing over her head. And she did that at least 10 times. Why would she get out, use her phone, put it back in her bag, then she'd come back out and frolic in the waves a few feet away from me. And then she'd go back, get her phone again, video herself again. I thought, God damn, you're torturing me. Anyway.
The point is,
there was no COVIDs anywhere to be seen. It was like before COVIDs. Yeah, exactly. A beautiful young girl frolicking in the waves.
Which is all you want to see. My daughter was working in a cafe on the beach in up where I am in the North Coast. And the place was full of people swimming. This is the middle of winter, mind you. The water's 19 degrees, but outside's about...
Where was this, Rick?
Port Macquarie at Lake...
Port Macquarie, yeah. Yep.
One of the beaches there.
I love it. You can swim in the winter. That's amazing.
Middle of winter. Anyway, but tonight...
Yeah, 19 is cold, but you can still swim in. I know. 19 Absolutely. Is my cutoff. 18
yeah,
is my cutoff.
20 degrees, 21 my cutoff, but... tonight we had a young kid in Walleye Beach, which is just up the road from me, eaten by a great white shark while he was surfing in the water. And they got him and came back. That was twice that came back and got him. It was a surfer and...
Real or fake?
I guarantee real here, because, man, we got sharks here. No problem. We get a lot of
sharks. Why do they eat surfers, though? Why do they eat surfers?
They dress as seals in black. They look like a seal to a shark, right? And when you're sitting on your surfboard with your arms dangling over the side, you look like a turtle. You look like a turtle swimming in the ocean to a shark. And so basically most shark attacks happen when you've got beaches where there's seals normally at. And it's totally by mistake. And they don't eat you. What they do is they attack your leg, and then they go away, and you bleed to death. And that's what happened today.
Hey, Rick, can I ask you, did this happen today?
What's that?
Did this happen today? I'll look it up now.
Yeah, walleye. W-O-L-L-I.
Can I call DJ because you're bringing the mood right down into the gutter.
Sorry, this is Australia. I could have been bitten by a spider.
I just gave you a story of a beautiful woman, nubile, wearing these bathing suits that creep right up your crack, and you know they're constantly pulling it out. I don't know why they buy it if they keep pulling it out. And you just brought me a story of death. Now, who is helping who right now? JJ, come back and discipline this boy. By the way, I unbanned Dave J. He can come back anytime. So you might get a beating on this audio chat.
What's not to love about Dave J? I had a great... I was singing karaoke with Frank on the end of last week's audio chat. Yeah.
Yeah. I should have cut it out. It was bad.
It was terrible, wasn't it? There you go. That's all right. I'd had a few Sherpas by then. Here we go. News.com.au. Let's check it out.
Needless to say.
Okay, so here we go. Circle back. Teen dead after shark attack. A 15-year-old boy bitten by a shark believed to be a 2.5-meter white pointer has died despite fellow surfers coming to his aid.
How the hell would they know how big the shark was? How?
Because your surfboard's usually a 6-footer, and they just.
But why would they know the size of the shark? How could they tell? The guy had a camera on his leg?
But if you're watching a shark, you can usually tell it. But, I mean, I've got sharks across attacking.
But how would they know which one bit them?
A great white. That beach is, and the North Coast is full of great white sharks at the moment because they ban.
Okay, here's another really stupid question. If you know sharks are out in the water, why would you go surf?
Exactly. That's why I don't surf, and I do not go out any further than a shark can get me, which is about not that far. I'm telling you now, I'm petrified of them because.
Well,
I'm
then why would he go out? Is he just a Darwin dead ender?
No.
Is he missing everything upstairs?
People just love going surfing and swimming here, and they think that no one's going to get them, and there's no such thing as sharks, basically, as far as I'm concerned. But I do say this, they only attack in areas where you have seals. That's a mistake by it usually. They just think you're a seal. They come and have a bite and then they go away. They don't sit there and eat you till there's nothing left. So the guy got attacked on his leg and he bled to death. If you get hit in the wrong, like a, that's, it's,
ex-
it's not.
A, do we know anyone else that's exsanguinated? After the break.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
It's one small step for man.
Bullshit. Yeah, that's Neil Armstrong. Big shout out to him. He passed away a few years back, but can I read a little bit of this? Here we go. So a 15-year-old boy has died after being attacked by a shark on the New South Wales mid-north coast, despite surfers bravely, in quotes, trying to fend it off. Witnesses have told the teenager, identified as Manny Hart, DeVille, so we should, if we had Bell set here, we could play the rest in peace.
Surfing
at Wilson's Headland off Willow Beach near Grafton on Saturday afternoon when, in quotes, a shark attacked, resulting in quotes, serious injuries to his legs. New South Wales ambulance crews were called to the reports of the shark attack just before 2:30 p.m., a spokesman said, told news.com.au. What a
no names. Yeah. Why are they have names? Don't they have names?
No names. Only identified as Manny Hart - DeVille. That's the guy's name.
Hold on a sec.
I play a bit of
audio. Let's analyze the name. Manny
Hart. I did that, DeVille. Come on, get off. I've got a black devil dog with me right now. Manny Hart DeVille. Manny Hart.
Are you attacked by a shark right now, Rick?
No, I've got a beautiful dog that wants to attack me there. Come on.
Yeah, don't let him bite your leg.
No, she's not bite my leg.
Yeah, well, it says it's despite CPR efforts to revive the 15-year-old, he died at the scene. Officers were seen loading a white surfboard with a bite mark into the back of a police car.
Yeah.
The information we have is quite probably a 2.5 metre white pointer. Surf Life Saving New South Wales. Peter Sweetman, old 7. So there we go. We've got a name.
Yeah. Walleye is a really small little surfing town. About 2 hours. 2 hours. 4 hours from where I am.
I've got my internet researching.
4 hours from where I am. And you know how many people have been attacked, though, up at Byron Bay. It's just that beach, and Crescent Head, you would not surf there unless you just are completely and utterly mad. Because they don't do, they used to do a lot more commercial fishing, and they stopped that. So there's more bait fish in the water. Consequently, bigger sharks are coming in. And the Greenpeace people don't want to hear that. They think it's a good thing that there's more bait fish in the water, but what it's doing is causing great white sharks and bull sharks, which are even worse, to come in and to shore. And they think that you're dressed in black, swimming at dusk in this dark water, or in the afternoon. You are.
So you should swim at 2 in the afternoon.
Day.
It's dusk.
No. That's why. That's unusual. It's normally dusk that they.
Yeah. Well, come on. Put on your fakeologist hat, for Christ's sake. This is not realologist, as John Levante.
I just did. I looked up his name in the anagram.
Oh, anagram time. Wait, we're going to bust this wide open. We're going to bust this one wide open with Van Tassel. Go ahead.
One of the 9 letters words contained in his name is Helldiver.
Oh, there you go. That blew it wide open for me.
And further down the list, Leviathan as well.
Oh, Jesus. Come on.
That's a good one.
Now what do you think, Van Tassel? Fake story or what?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that's only 2 words.
Yeah, that's enough for me. Where I live, right? I've got a beautiful river just across the road, and the locals there do not swim in there. And I said, why don't you swim in there?
We spear fishing just before, and we just actually got home, and I got a call from one of my good friends, and she said that one of my children's friends had been attacked by sharks, so I quickly drove down.
A friend of a friend. Here we go.
Everyone knows the family. We're really close, so, it's going to be a really... hit the community really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to
speak on behalf of all fakeologists. Every single media report is fake until proven otherwise. The media has lost any benefit of the doubt that they tell the truth. So I'm sorry, even though you're close to the situation and you know the area, you know sharks, you know they're all 2.5 meters, and they always take a bite out of the board, then I'm going to just have to tell you to remind you where you are. So.
Oh, that's fair enough.
Sorry about that.
That's fair enough.
I hope the bite in the board is obviously enough looking so people can just automatically agree with you. I mean, maybe the shark signed the board on the way out. Shark was here.
Oh, I think that's called sarcasm, isn't it, Ab?
No, I mean, seriously. Do we agree that the media, since a long time ago, 2001, has lost the benefit of the doubt? Yes or no?
Can I tell you a good story, Ab? In 1987...
No. Can you just answer the question and I'll hear your good story?
Okay, all right.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, of course. Of course. Now go ahead. Tell me how the cow ate the cabbage.
I found a book called, it was called Lies, Damn Lies, and Statistics. Or something like that. Or whatever,
yeah.
Whatever it was.
Yeah.
And what it said lies in the media. And what it was the book saying that how many fake news stories had been for many, many years. And there was this one journalist that got caught in Great Britain. He'd been reporting on incidents for years and years and years. And someone with a sharp, keen eye noticed that the victim had the same name a lot of the time. And this guy had been sitting at home faking stories for the Sun or He got caught out. That most of the stories he'd been writing about people being attacked on trains. Because they just like sensationalist stories because it fills space up in newspapers.
Okay, so if that story itself is fake, what would the point of that be? Let's put on our fakeologist hat and throw out our realologist hat. What would the point of that be?
To make you not want to go
to
the beach?
No, I'm talking about... No. I'm not talking about that story. The story you just read told me.
Yeah.
What would the point of that story be?
Exposing media fakery.
Well, what it does... That's probably a fake story, too. It's probably a fake story, too. But what it does is say that tells you that the media is on guard and weeds out all the fakes. When, in fact... Almost every single story that is put out into the media by the intelligence agencies are fake. So if you get a story saying, well, the media is on guard for fake stories and they just caught one of their own and they threw them to the wolves, then you can go back to sleep and say, oh, thank God the media is telling me the truth. They actually will go after their own and expose them.
No,
so that's what that tells me. That lets the entire fake industry off the hook. So, sorry, I don't believe that story either. Do you see how deep it goes?
What I was going to say was a similar thing, but I've come to the thought, what I think a story like that says is it suggests that there's real people writing stories, and I don't think there is. I think it's all generated. I think what happens with the people who present the so-called news and media, I think somewhere along the line, and you could be talking about your military people, is the stories are delivered to them, and then they, in turn, have to deal with presenting that to us. And I don't think anyone's
I agree. All these stories come from I.O. I want everyone to know these two initials. It's the biggest, I think, most important part of the military. Influence operations. Every single military has influence operations. They're working 24/7. They have the schedule laid out a year, 2 years ahead. They have a story for every single day, maybe 10 stories, and they probably sit around in the morning and say, which one are we going to release today? Which way is the wind blowing? How's the feeling in the whatever country we're in? Let's put one of these out.
Up. I know this for a fact. I picked up on this a long time ago that the often on a beautiful day, it'll be a beautiful weather, lovely day here, and the first story on the media here would be five puppies, and I've done this on the Fart podcast, the five puppies burned to death in a house.
Oh my God.
It was seven puppies burned to death in a house.
Seven, there's the seventh code. Dave Jinks.
For sure. And I said to someone, I said, you know, has anyone checked up on that? I mean, really, it was the most depressing story. Everyone's listening to the radio, and it's a beautiful day.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they're immediately brought down into this depressed
control. Right, exactly, Ricky. Now you're getting it. You're getting it. I agree.
Oh, I've got it for a long
time. Influence operations. Look it up. I was just reading one mainstream story that influence operations in the United States, they want to make it even more important. I think they want to... It's a sub-wing of the Army. They want it to have its own division with its own generals and commanders. Just look it up.
77 Division now in England is definitely doing attacking.
77 Brigade, isn't it?
77 Brigade, yeah. 77 Brigade.
And they got the... I think they have the exact same number at Fort Bragg in the United States.
That's their, I think that's the number of their division, IO. Yep. It's called Information, Influence Operations, MISO,
77.
Military Intelligence, Special Ops, they call it, MISO. It's got many names. It's Psychological Operations. I think they dropped the word Psychological Operations and just use all these fancy-dancy words, but
the guy that put me onto it was Chris Kendall. When he was reporting, he said there was a tornado hit near where he lived, and 7 children drowned from a whatever. He queried that. He said that's that number, and he said 7 children. He goes, has anyone backed that story up and gone in? And he was actually thinking of driving in there and finding out, because it was not far from where he is was.
They threw a chink. Always threw a chink to Chris Kendall.
Yeah.
I think he's definitely left the building. Yeah.
I think so. But I like what John LeBon actually said a couple of weeks ago. He said 50-50, and I agree with him there. It's 50-50.
I hope he isn't, but hope isn't a strategy, as Fast Value says.
That's true.
I hope he's still with it. Yeah.
So do I, but it's not looking good. And
I've got some awesome audio for you from Amazing Polly on BitTube, but keep going. We can get to Amazing Polly because I think Frank will be here with us a little later. Yeah, keep going, Man Tassel.
Yeah. No, Polly reeks of just a generated character to me. There's something weird about her face and the production. I don't trust these people who never change their room or their background. It just looks like a backdrop with a fucking high at death.
Well, a green screen. All right, let's have a little listen.
It's a serious question, and I'll go through the evidence of why I'm asking it in a minute. The question is this. Does the handling of this virus amount to torture?
Yes.
On the face of it, it might seem like a ridiculous question, and I can already hear the objections to it. But I'm going to take you through evidence from an Amnesty International report from 1975 where they took a deep look at torture, what constitutes it, what it does to people, and what methods actual torturers have used in this thing called no-touch torture. It's psychological torture. It's mental torture. And by the end of this, I hope that you will see that the question doesn't have an easy answer. In fact, I think you will come to the conclusion that, yes, indeed, the responses to this coronavirus in many regions of the world do, in fact, amount to torture. I'm going to also talk about why they would want to do this very briefly at the end. And after I'm finished presenting this material, I'm also going to include responses from the general public to a question that I put out to them, which was, what do you feel you have been forced to do during this pandemic that you would otherwise not do? All right, let's not waste any more time.
So I will say what I was forced to do. I gave Ab a donation of 200 Canadian dollars, and I went down to the bank to get the money out of the bank. And I had to stand in line, and I was humiliated,
Fantastic. Good on you.
I really appreciate it, but why were you humiliated? What happened?
Well, because I was cranky because I was infantilized. You know, these people are treating me like a child and do not treat...
What happened?
I'm a customer.
What happened?
I had to stand. I had to stand in social distance in a line with people with masks on, fucking idiots.
Were you wearing a mask?
It's like if you've ever seen Seinfeld, the suit Nazi, where you had to go in there and you go up. Yeah, exactly. No more soup for you. And I'm one of their best customers. I mean, I'm not short of a shekel. So that's why I got the Canadian pesos for you, and I gave you a green one as well, one of Australia's $100 bills. And I put it in the mail, so hopefully you get it. And I just wanted to help out, especially fake
issues. Thank you.
But you can spend it how you want. It's a donation, Ab. You can spend it how you please. But
I thank you very much. It's very nice of you. We can no longer say you're a freeloader and a douchebag on the website. So thank you.
Okay, you go. You call me anything you want. Just don't call me late for dinner.
Thank you. You're a good man. Thank you for cutting into your alcohol budget for Fakeologists. Yep.
Yeah, it's good, good man, man. It's good, good that you did that.
By the way, I forgot to, when I was doing shout outs last week, I forgot to mention Tom Dalpra. Tom Dalpra was in there along with ID Conspire, who for some unknown reason has now deleted his whole, Discord server. I don't know.
What's the matter with him? I thought he was alright, but someone said he's a partner.
I think you're right. I don't think Benoit likes him.
He doesn't like him at all.
No, I can't remember. Yeah. He'll tell you.
Why. Yeah. Apparently.
You have to ask Benoit.
And Laura Mars did the same thing too.
Okay.
Excellent.
Well, he wears a mask. He wore a mask before others were wearing a mask.
I'll never wear one. I will go to my grave. You can put a mask on me when I'm got a toe tag on in the morgue.
I've been in the city. I've done loads of city stuff today, and there was very few masks whatsoever.
Well, what is the rule? What is the rule where you live in Sydney? What is the rule?
In Scotland, you can't go into a supermarket from yesterday without a mask on. Every single supermarket is law.
That's fucked up.
Horrible, man.
Yeah. Here,
what is the rule? What is the rule, please?
There's none here, none whatsoever.
Really?
Yeah.
Why are they pounding the hell out of Melbourne, and you guys are getting off?
I'll tell you this: Melbourne are a soft touch. There's a lot of Italians there, and the word capitulate.
Italians?
Yes. Yes, very much.
It's awesome.
There's not even a lot of Italians in Italy. What are they doing in Melbourne?
They all went there after the war. It's full of Italians. Yeah. Same where I am now.
The most beautiful Italian food down there in Victoria. I swear to God, Dan Andrews is just the same as Anastasia Palaszczuk and Gladys Berejiklian and fucking Scott Morrison and fucking Anthony Albanese, their power's gone to their heads. It's just gone to their heads. Yeah. COVID can't cross a border? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's
you know, you have to. It is bullshit of the highest order, but there you go. Yeah.
You're going to get masked in Sydney, too. Just wait. Sorry to say, you're not immune.
Oh,
no immunity granted.
Well, we did have it. Like, so what my report is from today, but the last time I was in there, about a month ago, it was everywhere. Like every Asian was wearing a mask. Today, it was probably about, say, 10% of people have one, maybe less.
Oh, by the way, I wanted to bring up a point because you're talking about borders. In Houston, I heard a mainstream media story on the No Agenda show, which is doing pretty good work on this, even though they don't call it a PSYOP. Which they never will do, which I guess is part of their...
You give them a lot of money.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm now putting all my money in the FACO tube. Okay. There are apparently, and I'm not sure I believe this. Hold on, after the break!
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
And thank you, Rolo, for his support, and Buck Cherry for his 9/11 a month support. I appreciate that. Fakeologist.com/donate. I've listed people on there as I've received their donations. Thanks a lot. Okay,
Buck Cherry's cool. I like him.
I read
all his comments last night. They were great. Yeah, Buck Cherry.
Buck Cherry. Yeah. He puts his money where his mouth is. Thanks a lot. He even has a talk show, I think. I tried to listen to it, but it was an older one. I wasn't sure what the hell he was saying, but he does have a talk show. Okay, getting back to COVID testing. Apparently they're doing they're testing human beings, yes, human beings with COVID vaccinations all around the world, including Houston. And the interesting part of the story,
if it's true, which I'm not sure of, they're saying that if you are if you're going to be willing to be a guinea pig to get injected with this vaccination, then it gives you an immunity passport. What does that mean? That means in future lockdowns, which I guarantee are coming to different cities near you or apartment complexes near you, that immunity passport will allow you to go anywhere, because the reason, excuse, is that they want to see if the vaccination works. So you will be given some kind of paper or digital passport that allows you to go into restaurants mask-free, Walmart mask-free, cross county lines, state lines, city lines, whatever lines. I thought that was a fascinating glimpse into the future, because I guarantee they're trying in Melbourne to put China-like restrictions on people's movement.
100%.
And that will be part of the... Yeah, what do you think of that? Are you willing 100%. To take the jab to get the immunity passport?
No.
I think I'm with Frank. I will take the jab. I will take the jab, and if it kills me, I want my family to get $10 million. I want a good lawyer behind me.
You're willing to die for Bill Gates. Amazing.
I will take a death if it means that we're not living under tyranny.
We don't want Rollo to be a martyr for Bill Gates. Sorry.
Oh, no.
Rollo.
No.
Actually, that slightly misrepresents my point of view.
G'day, Frank. Here's the truth.
Good. Excellent.
I've sent a letter of conditional acceptance.
Yeah, exactly. I knew that's what he was going on. So you're only going to take the jab if they give you an acceptance letter that they will pay you $100 million if you die.
If they guarantee that it's totally safe and all that stuff, in other words, I'm happy to be jabbed,
provided they
warrant that the thing's safe to do so.
Yeah, and they're not going to do that.
And you know they will never say that, so you will never take the jab.
Well, exactly. It's not a case of that. So the legal position is that I send them the offer three times, and they're silent for three times. And then I've established my position in law.
Exactly. Yep. You're right, man. That's exactly right. You're with the Empowerment
Group. From that Solutions company?
Empowerment Solutions. Yep.
Empowerment. Hey, Frank, we played a little bit of Amazing Polly before. Let me just a little bit more. Here we go.
Let me roll off before you play it.
Sorry, yeah, go ahead.
Before you play it, I know you're loaded. Why don't you order that mixer that Velocet recommended, the Go XLR Mini. It's only in Japan right now.
I've got an order. My wife's going to get it off eBay or something.
It's on eBay.
He's done it.
Is it on the way?
Yeah. Yeah.
It'll be here good. Before you know it. I've already got a pretty good setup, but
The audio's terrible.
No problem.
But you get no that, you'll be great.
Go, Frank.
Yeah.
Just going back to the conditional acceptance, I mean, my view was that, even if they're the remedy put to me by, Solutions Empowerment guys, even if it's, doesn't work, it's well worth a try, because one way or another, we're going to get jabbed, aren't we?
Did you have to pay for that service, Frank? Empowerment?
You can do that particular thing.
$65 or something.
Yeah, but you can do that other thing for $5.
Yeah, exactly. You just have to give them a five. Yeah, all they ask is a $5 donation to pay for the photocopy stuff.
Oh, that's good. So you paid $5 or $65?
You can pay $5 or $65.
I've logged in for the whole thing because you can look up for a 3-day trial, by the way.
Yep.
Check the site out for 3 days. And then you can
I've got more people woken up with that site than I've ever seen before. I've got friends that have gone straight into that and they've downloaded it and they've sent off their waiver to the the government saying that they happily accept the mask, the injection, the whatever, if you can prove your
position.
Yeah. And they're all doing it.
Yeah.
Exactly. So they are, there's a lot of people doing that stuff at the moment. I haven't done it.
Back in the day, what I would have done, like, to get out of it, you just bribe the doctor, like, you know, $1,000, or, you know.
$1,000? That's too much.
To say that he jabbed you, and then,
absolutely.
You know what I mean? You could, rich people can, get out of it.
Well, that course of action always remains open, doesn't it?
How much does that cost? Is that, And don't forget, when you're bribing a doctor, you're competing with the drug companies.
That's true.
Yeah. They've got a lot more money than we have.
Exactly.
That's what you call cinema veritas there.
Exactly.
Real life.
I tell you, how much does it cost for a signature on my old immunization card, buddy?
Yeah.
That's coming. That's coming. I'll give you a little thing. As a truck driver, I need a medical every few years. As I get older, it's more frequent, of course, because, you know, I could just drive my truck into the ditch and kill 50 million people. But there's one doctor that everybody knows. He literally, it's cash only. He will fill out the form so quickly, with barely looking at you, that the ink is almost floating on the paper. It doesn't even land on the paper before you're out the door. All you have to do is pee in a cup. He doesn't even look at you. He fills out the form. You can't read any of his writing. And I thought, oh, no, they're not going to accept this form when I go to the office. I go to the office. All he does is stamp it with his stamp so they see who it is and they think, they don't even look, because, like, the ink misses almost every box on the form, because he just whizzes through it. The point is, my doctor charges double, and he really does put me through the ringer. So I stop using him, and I go to the assembly line doctor, who, he must be making $5,000 a day cash, because there's a lineup out the door out of people that God knows what's wrong with them, but he doesn't care. He just, they're, cash is always king. That's the point.
Cash is king. That's right. What they want to get rid of. Ben Tassel, you wanted to say something. Come on.
Yeah, no, touching on that whole, the kind of feeling about the medical industry, at least where I am in Scotland, and I'll relate it to a little bit. I lived in England before that. I've had real problems dealing with the NHS, and it is exactly like Ab said with his doctor. It's like frying blood out of a stone. I've suffered in the past some terrible insomnia. You're talking days on end sometimes, and it feels. Wow. I mean, I don't know why.
Haven't you heard of Valium? Keep going.
Never mind Valium. You should listen to some of my podcasts. They'll put you right to sleep.
No. But what I'm saying is how things have just recently changed. So, that's a kind of barometer for me saying, I've tried everything and I'll do, you can send me to a sleep doctor and whatever, but could you just write me a small subscription, even 6 tablets for when it gets really bad? And they wouldn't even do that. And what I've found is since all the COVID things happened, and I'm in Scotland now, the fact that a doctor will not see you face to face, and this is the other thing that happened yesterday when I called the doctor, you won't go into the surgery without one. And I said to the woman, I didn't want to go into it and get in an argument. I just said, can you just leave it outside, my prescription, and I'll pick it up? And she went, oh, that's fine. But basically what I'm saying is these days, because you can't see someone face to face, the whole temperature of the thing's changed. You can just about get anything. You just need to request it. It's gone from the most difficult thing in the world to keep the public at bay kind of thing. That's how it feels. It just feels, the other thing that I used to get into trouble for was when one prescription finishes and your next one's supposed to start, they look at you on the system and you say, oh, well, you've still got enough for a couple of days, come back, which is ridiculous because you're away sometimes and there's weekends. Now, they don't give a fuck about it and you can just order whatever, whenever, and they won't check it. like your stuff was out last week
Ben, how old are you roughly?
I just turned 50.
Okay,
yeah.
Same age as us. Okay.
Have you ever done roofies and Valium at the same time?
No, man.
Roller has.
Yeah, of course I have.
Yeah, I've had a few things in my system in the time, but no, not that. I mean, if I could go and buy Valium, I would be buying Valium. You know, I mean, that would sort me out. But it's just not available.
What's
you know what the funny part with Valium is? Sorry, Rick, to cut you off. Okay. But let me just tell this. When you take Valium, take six of them and then try and stay awake. It's like... and try and fight it off. It's so much fun.
Stay awake.
Keep going, Rick, mate.
No, I was just saying, sleep issues have been big with me lately. I've had terrible sleeps, and I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm up for 2 or 3 hours, and I have to get up early, you know, 4 days a week or 3 days a week, and it's really tough, you know, the lack of sleep is really knocking everyone around. All I can recommend people do is order melatonin.
Yep.
It's banned in Australia, so you've got to order it overseas or get it someone to give it to you if they've been travelling. That is a positive. It's the only positive one that I've had.
Yeah, it does build up in your system, though. I've found that's the only thing. It'll work for a short period.
You're meant to only have like a quarter of or a half. I took three or four at a time, and it did work, but I was really groggy the next day.
Yeah,
so,
groggy spot. Yeah.
Which is not.
I'm lucky. I got the opposite problem. You need to exercise more, Rick. Maybe try that.
Are you serious? You don't know me, man. I do not sit down. I can't sit down, and I exercise.
I know you very well.
but lately I've had an issue with sleep, and it's really knocking around 100%, and you get really grumpy and stressed. So, but melatonin was one of the better ones that I've
You had. Need a girlfriend.
Lord's Prayer. Luke 11.
Okay, look
you need
look.
A young right, girlfriend.
Okay. Should we do what's in your hand? What's in your hand, Rick?
All right.
What's in your hand?
A glass of... Tasmanian James Bogues.
James Bogues, yeah. Okay. What have I got? I've got a Citella Shiraz Tempranillo Grenache. What about you, Van Tassel? What have you got in your hand?
I've got a Nescafe coffee and a joint.
And a joint? Oh, you're a stoner, are you?
and Ab's got a
glass of water. Ab, glass of water?
Yeah.
I was going to tell Rick,
stop drinking alcohol.
Yeah, I think so. Ab, I agree.
Clean skin Merlot.
There you go. There we go. There's your what's in your hand?
Hey, that was a good one. That was good. I like that.
That was good. He's got a great voice.
That was very good. Yeah, you got your line.
I tried to ring John Laws, but he's still not taking my calls. I spoke to Graham Gilbert the other night. He hung up on me after about 30 seconds.
What did I speak to you? What did you say?
I said, why are footballers social distancing? He's a sports guy. So
yeah.
I was just going, why are they not social distancing? Because they're all, you know, come up with some bullshit response. And I'm going, no, they've all got family.
Roll, I want you to play the latest FakoTube upload. If you go to FakoTube, go to latest upload, and it's this is what I think is going to happen more and more. A guy is in Walmart just trying to buy something, and two females start videoing him with their phone because he's not wearing a mask. I mean, this is the new Brown Shirt, the new Stasi.
They've encouraged us to report on ourselves instead of the government doing it.
It's really bad. Yeah. What happened to privacy where guys these women just start filming you, videoing you with their phones. They just whip them out.
What's it called again?
Well, It's the latest. If you go to Phaco Tube's homepage, phacotube.com.
Yeah, which I'm there now.
Scroll down. They have different lists. Go to the latest uploads. There's different lists. The trending thing doesn't work. Trending doesn't work.
Okay, no worries. So, latest upload. So,
it should be the one where the guy's standing in the aisle trying to buy something.
Hey, Ab, can I ask you a quick question, man?
Go ahead, man.
We were saying all, like, the military are supplying all these media stories and your paper and online and all that. Why would it stop at news stories? Because all these people filming people doing... Yeah, I don't think anybody really does go and film people. I think all that shit is generated, all of it.
I'm not Ab,
is it called Barmart? Is that the one? Barmart?
No. You gotta look at the latest video.
Titled, Staten Island Shoppers Gang Up on Unmasked Woman. If you haven't seen that...
No, that's not it. That's not it.
No?
No.
But apply that one.
Do you not see... No, that was the guy that was acting like a sheep in Walmart going, bah, it's not that great. Can you not see a category for latest uploads if you scroll down?
Okay, no, pretend I'm a simpleton, right, and I've never used PhacoTube before. PhacoTube.com.
Hey, listen, F-A-K-E. I never stop thinking you're a simpleton.
All right. Okay. No worries, right? You can say the best all you want.
Yeah, it's if you scroll down on the main page, it'll show you the latest uploads.
Latest uploads.
I think. Newest videos. Reverse chronological.
Oh, SJW, you're not wearing your mask?
All right, here we go.
Here we go. Here it comes. Give me a sec. And let me press play. Play.
To take a picture of me. Does that make you feel better? Why don't you get a life,
lady? Dude, I have a life.
Are you
going around
taking pictures of
me? Yes, because what you're doing, can you not follow the lines on the floor?
Keep your mouth
running. The governor, the mayor is asking us all to wear masks, and look at you, not wearing a mask.
Oh, dear.
I wear a mask to protect myself.
It's a fucking political. It's unbelievable. Now, you have accosted me in this store.
You have accosted me.
And if you're going to keep this up, maybe we'll get the police department
in. Why don't you call 911 then?
Yeah. Oh, God, another one. You people are like monkeys falling out of a tree.
Now you're the monkey.
Oh, man.
Look, man, I'm telling you now, that's real. That is really happening. That's not a fight. That's not fight.
Yeah, go, Rick.
No, I'm saying that's real. That's the kind of thing that's happening at the moment. I spoke to two cops, and they said that's what's going on. They said,
yeah, I can see that happening.
Yeah, it's real. In Australia,
the public health officer announced that you don't need to wear a mask. Unless you have symptoms.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
This is Marty from Dusseldorf, and you're listening to Fecologist
Radio
on Fecologist.com.
We had him on, Matty. Big shout out to Matty from Germany. We had him on the Far Podcast. Great guy. Fantastic.
Very good guy.
But I totally believe, because people, the police said to this, when I was in the cafe, I've said this before, but
say it again.
The girl in the cafe asked them, she goes, how's things going? And they went, oh, it's all good, except for all the people ringing up Dobbing and the next door neighbours. Dobbing was an Australian thing. And they said, snitching. They said, it's absolutely over the top. And they were constantly being sent to jobs from someone's next door neighbour saying, oh, I saw my next door neighbour had a friend come over, and they're not allowed to have friends come over. And so humans are reporting on humans at the moment.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's real. It's real. It's real, for sure.
We've become the police. Policing ourselves. It's despicable.
It's Nazi Germany all over again.
It's really easy. It's really easy because basically they say, if you don't wear a mask, you're a spread neck, you're a super spreader, so you're killing me, so why wouldn't I speak up? Because that's what they program the zombies into thinking, that if you don't wear a mask, they're trying to kill you. That's it.
But you can't catch a virus.com. You can't catch a virus.com.
I agree. That's the main thing.
Fucking assholes. I mean, it's evil genius. That's what Amazing Polly said. And Frank, you watched that whole video, didn't you, Frank?
I did. And I posted on Facebook.
Thank you, mate. Yeah. I knew you'd enjoy it. I mean, it was fantastic.
I didn't get a very good warm reaction from my friends, though.
I don't doubt it, because your friends, you know who your friends are when COVID comes around.
Oh, yeah. This is weeded out 99% of anyone I can talk to. It's this is the most divisive, isolating event in the history of the world.
This has made your family, your friends, or anyone you know, turn around and really do look at you like you are spreading. You're a super spreader, and that's a new
spreadneck.
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 Spreadneck. You don't care.
I wouldn't mind if the actual statistics don't clearly indicate that the chance of anyone my age dying are several orders of magnitude less than crossing the road.
Yeah, Frank, have you heard the horrific news that tonight in Victoria we had a death, and he was 94, and what you're doing is perpetrating hate speech by saying that this COVID isn't safe because a 94-year-old died of getting the flu yesterday, and that's what they're doing. A 94-year-old, for God's sake. I mean,
you'll notice that I actually stuck to the word risk, right?
Yeah.
I just said, without making any claims, I said, the statistics show that the risk is significantly less than crossing the road. That is a fact.
I have a neighbour who lives a few doors up. I'll call him Larry. I won't use his real name. He's got a PhD in statistics, a PhD, and I had the most animated chat with him the other day. He's got 10 years on me, and he's a strong guy, but we had this back and forth like you wouldn't believe, and I'd go on, come on, you've got a PhD in statistics. Where are all the people dying in this scamdemic? I don't like plandemic. I think scamdemic is the best word to call it.
Yeah, my wife likes that too. She said that, yeah, my wife likes scamdemic.
Yeah, why not? Why not? Because it is. It's a massive scam to change the world into communism.
Believing in vaccines. That's all it is.
It's
to get people, it's to get everyone onto the germ theory that everything is dangerous and you need a vaccine at least twice a year. Just do the math. Can we do the math together? Yeah. How many people they say are on the... on this earth?
6 billion? 7 billion.
7 billion. And of course, Bill Gates says it's going up to 9 billion.
Really?
We can't. Yeah. So 7 billion. How much do you think a vaccination would cost? What is the lowest with competition? Well, it's mostly collusion. What do you think the average cost
is? Well, in Australia, we've got a thing called... in Australia, we've got a thing... What's it called, Rick? Where we pay only a minuscule amount.
So just give me the number. What do you think the government is charged?
I don't know. A couple hundred? I don't know.
Say 100 for easy numerology.
That's
100.
Okay, 100. Say 100.
So let's say it's twice a year that you need a vaccine because you know that in the animal kingdom, since we can get viruses from animals, they've extrapolated the number. There's 320,000 possible viruses. So there's your market there. So 7 billion times 100, that's 70 billion. Twice a year, 140 billion.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's just, that's a business. Can you think of a better business that you could, has unlimited growth like
but
that?
Okay. At the moment,
plexiglass.
Let's do the maths. What is the risk? What is the risk of being damaged or killed by one of those vaccines? It's measurable and known, and it's, again, several times order of magnitude higher than the risk of dying from the diseases they're said to prevent. It is so, mandatory.
Okay, well, but
good point.
But vaccinations fall under insurance. What's the risk of your house burning down?
What is the risk of it burning down?
It's very low. So why do you buy insurance? Why do you buy insurance every year for fire on your house? What does it make sense?
Well, because it's mandatory here. They put it on your rates.
Well, it's mandatory by who? The guy that loans you the money to buy the house?
No. The government in Victoria has just changed so that the councils charge you for the fire.
Well, that's fine. I'd rather pay for the fire.
Frank, we're overgoverned here.
Frank,
unbelievable.
I've done the math. I don't buy dental insurance because I looked at the coverage. I looked how much it costs. I don't have dental insurance. I pay my dentist cash every time. And I go to the dentist four times a year. Because I understand the biology behind bacteria. I go four times a year.
Yeah, that's
all
like
I get is a boring conversation and very little to do.
Everyone's talking.
Okay. Yes, it is. You can see it with your own eyeball.
And I go to the dentist more than I should because I understand that.
No, it's not more than you should. It's more than the insurance company says they want to pay.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I don't have insurance. Because,
I think I've lucked out because I have the world's best dentist. He fixed my tooth. He's my next door neighbor, and he's just the best.
I have the best dentist. He always cleans my teeth when I pay him money.
But basically, for what it's worth.
I pay cash. I pay cash. Yep, go.
I don't think there's any. I think I've cut out all insurance other than the compulsory.
Yeah. Well, the point is, vaccination is being sold as an insurance, and
yes,
people buy insurance.
And
that
it is more risky for a person to have the vaccine than the flu, for example. The flu shot has a certain number of deaths per year associated with it.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Even if you don't believe that vaccinations do anything, their own numbers, I agree with you, make it obvious that the risk is not worth the reward, which there is none. So even though we all know at Fakeologists that vaccines do probably nothing except damage, and you can't catch a virus, and the whole inoculation theory is bullshit.
What's your saying? At most,
at
useless,
least it does nothing. At least, exactly.
No.
That's,
well done. Van Tassel.
Vaccination is Van Tassel.
Have you ever taken a shot of vaccine? Have you ever taken
No. But I was I was going to relate what locally, a little thing, it's a big thing with this COVID thing. So when it first started, two things. I live in a big old building sort of in the country, just outside Glasgow. So there's, one, two, three, four, five, seven people, there's seven apartments, and my neighbour right the way across, and I think this was March, the old dear was about, I think she was 91 or two, and she got taken into hospital and passed away in hospital. We'd only just moved here the last 6 months, so I didn't know them that well. But our husband, while I was talking to him, and he said, we think she got infected with the virus. It must have been the carers that passed it on to us.
The carers, what you think?
The carers that came in for them. Yeah. Anyway, she passed away, and that's the excuse. They said she died of that, which is the classic thing everyone's been saying. Well, it's an old person, and they're probably dying of whatever's going around every year anyway because they're old and frail. But it's a classic case of that someone directly just across the way from me that's kind of touched my life. But the other thing is that puts a big oar in the whole to explain the situation to people, at least locally, because then they just turn around and go, well, look, that's on your doorstep. So how can you argue with that? And then you have to get in the whole situation of, well, you know, perhaps we all have that, and it's just a marker that they're looking for with this bogus test. And I mean, the test is ridiculous, isn't it? It's like you test positive or negative. Even if it's positive or negative, you could or could not have it, and then that can change the next time you do the test. I mean, they basically test mm-hmm. until they get what they want.
Exactly.
No,
that's
right. Yeah, asymptomatic.
Asymptomatic. 80% false positive.
Related to that.
Let me give my theory.
But you don't die of it. You don't die of it.
Let me give you my theory.
My theory is that
the test is simply I know they don't do a blood test yet. I think they're doing a test of your cell, and it's just going to be used to identify you. It's only for ID 2020. They need a biological print of every single person so they can positively identify you. Now, I think they need to do a digital blood test on everyone to get an accurate identification of everyone. I don't think you can do it with a swab, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we all have different cells up our nose that identifies us absolutely. But I think it's simply for ID 2020, another Bill Gates company, and they just want to identify you. That is why they ask you to test. The test does absolutely nothing. It's a completely useless test. But I think just like in the crime detective shows where they put the glass mm-hmm. out so the crook would grab the glass so they could lift the fingerprint, that is the excuse. That's the cover story. They're testing, but they're actually gathering digital identification. It's ID 2020. They want absolute proof that you are you, and that is how you're going to travel around the world.
There's definitely a cover story.
Related to that, right? So, also in my building downstairs, there is, now what exactly, he works in one of the local hospitals. I thought he was a surgeon, but I think he's actually a radiologist or someone, something to do with cancer imaging, something like that. Some Italian guy. So this is a problem that I have, but also something I can put in my back pocket that I've got ultimate ammunition, because obviously me being here, all I've been doing is studying it for about since it happened, right? This guy said in a mass email when this all happened, I swear to God, I don't have the exact language here, but he said something about being wary of the communal bins as they're a possible, what was the word he used? A possible, not poisonous, but like you know what I'm saying, and not infectious, but he's basically saying be wary of the bins, but didn't go into detail on why they would be a toxic place. That's what he said. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the problem I have.
What is a communal bin? What is a communal bin? What are you talking about?
It's a place. Bins is what happens.
When you DC dive, and then you come up too quickly, air pockets can form in your bloodstream, go to your heart and kill you, isn't it? Is that what you're talking about, the bends?
Not bends. That's my accent, man. It's the communal garbage place, right? Where everyone, a bin, B-I-N, it's my Scottish accent.
I knew you were wrong, Roland.
Bin.
Jesus. Don't you understand Scottish?
I know. Right, listen, so here's the thing. He wrote in an email, and they said that this place, that it was like a possible toxic area. But this was before she died. And my problem with that is, did she not have just worried herself to fucking death after he put that in an email saying, basically be scared of your own garbage because it might kill you or infect you. And then within weeks, she fucking died, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I really hold that against this guy.
I just got a news bulletin. I heard that if you see your shadow, shadows carry COVID. So do not. Stay away from your shadow. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're
welcome.
I'll be here all week. Is that the Peter Pan technique, Ed?
God. Well, listen, okay. I just heard a news clip on the No Agenda show where they're saying just breathing passes COVID. So can we get any more stupefyingly obvious?
No, come on. It's just pathetic. It's just
humans
pathetic.
Are... Humans, I said this at the beginning, to the eugenicists of the world, humans are the virus. They want to get rid of people. Why don't they just come out and say it? stomped with the
I've
nonsense.
Never been so more, I've never been so more disappointed in humanity when this thing really took off in March. I've never been more disappointed.
Remember, do you remember when they said, the United Nations agenda said we're going to get, the carbon-based footprint needs to be reduced by 40%. What is made of carbon? What is made of carbon and leaves footprints?
Humans.
It's humans. It's so obvious. They're not,
right.
They're not hiding from anyone. It's just
yes,
so obvious.
Yes, agreed, Rick. Agreed.
Never
say,
I mean, I'll say it again.
Yeah.
When I was dropping those fucking clothes off and the old woman,
I told
and
you
the old
to
woman
use
just said,
oh,
we have to put them in quarantine. I'm repeating myself, but I am disgusted.
No, you told me on the free, that was on the free show.
The old people that are just, come on, you should know better. You should know better.
No.
You're supposed to be wiser than us, but they're not.
The older you get, and this happens to me too. I asked my dad, I said, what is the number one fear of humans? What do you guys think?
Death.
Yeah.
Death.
And the older you are, the closer you are to the day. And I think the seniors are, many of them, I'm not saying all of them, because my 92-year-old father-in-law, he doesn't give a crap about this. He's happy to go to the mall, except he can barely walk. That's his biggest problem. But the point, he's not afraid of this, so he's not a believer at all. He doesn't care about viruses or any of that. And his wife, my mother-in-law, she just said, I'm ready to go anytime anyway, so it doesn't matter to me. So I'm ready to check out. But the point is, most people are afraid of death. I'm afraid of death. I don't want to die. That's what drives human beings and all their behavior. They're just
avoiding
things.
But I think it's the flight or fight thing. You know, the flight or fight thing. And,
right.
But if you've been given, you know, someone's pointed the bone at you, you know, the pointing of the bone, which is an ancient type thing,
it's a real thing. If you're convinced that you'll die from something or other, and you believe that,
you'll do anything. You'll do anything to avoid it. Even if it means hiding in your closet till you actually do die.
Yep.
Yeah. You'll
the government will lock you in your closet. Sorry, who was talking there?
No, you'll lock yourself in your closet.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Rick.
Oh,
hold on. After the break.
Sorry.
You're listening 7:00. Another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
What more do you want tacked onto this? 9/11 was an inside job?
Was it?
Who cares? Global acts of terrorism happen every day.
Big shout out to Rick and Morty. That's Rick and Morty. And you spoke all over Belafitte's hoax syndicate. his bumper there. Keep going, Ed.
I want to cut you off before you start talking. It's 7-Eleven 2020. Just to speak to Rick's point, the carbon footprint, CO2, that scam did not catch on. People didn't believe it. They didn't see
exactly.
That they
and
could make a difference.
They've come on the left-hand path and smashed us over with this one, and it's working.
Right. The virus is working. I don't know why they didn't do it first. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Prince Philip, that creepy old man married to the creepy old woman, the queen.
Yeah.
He said that humans are the virus. He said he wanted to come back as a virus.
Come back as a virus to kill off 90%.
And kill everybody.
90% of the humans because we were a problem that we were destroying.
Can you believe he said that? I listened
to the interview.
It's not by the madness of King George, you know, when, you know, he pissed blue piss or whatever or what it was. I love that movie, Madness of King George. But Prince Philip, who was never going to become king, it's impossible for him to become king.
The problem is, the kids, the teens, the young people, believe...
Yeah, Harry and William, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about them. I'm talking about the general under 30s really do believe that we are.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Old,
old white people.
Yeah, yeah.
Not are the problem.
Yeah, we've definitely lost that battle.
Yeah, we have. I'm a voracious reader, and when I read the story of the book called The Secret Hunters, when they went after the the German, you know, infrastructure, the officers that all that after the Second World War that pretended to be, that try to blend in with the citizens to avoid being prosecuted. That was the young kids that were dobbing them in. And old people were terrified of the young people because the young people were totally brainwashed by the whole National Socialist.
Oh, yeah.
National Socialist. Get this one. The Nazis were socialists. Forget about them being right-wing. They were on the left and socialist. And we're seeing the same thing now, I think.
Yeah. I agree with you. Totally. Why Golden Skid Mark's not here? He'd love this conversation. He would.
But you've always got to remember that just because you're paranoid, it doesn't mean that people are not out to get you.
Yeah.
I've told you a million times not to exaggerate.
That's right. All good lines. Boy, we're just zinging them off tonight.
Yeah, and good to hear Van Tassel having a good chat here because he's got some good stuff there. Good stuff, man.
Yeah, hey, Van Tassel, have you ever heard of a guy called Count Dankula? Count Dankula, have you ever heard of him?
I've heard the name. I just got onto a Fakeologist and I'm getting hammered by Xyflex here. I'm trying to reply to him. Because that Bataclan thing, I couldn't remember the
name. Right. I was going to point that out to you,
Van Tassel. In France.
Yes. I'll go on a wee bit here about it, but I'm replying to him. So it was a friend of my other half, and it was partly, he was the brother of her. That what I was just replying to him there is, again, it's one of these things that get in the way that stop the conversation. So when I started talking, it's really difficult to talk to your other half about this stuff, I found, because of this. So I'm trying to tell her, there's all these events, and they're all cooked up, and it's fake imagery and fake identities. And then she goes, well, what about Paris?
Hyper-realistic drills.
Yeah, yep. And she's like, what about Paris? What about Nick, who got killed, the swag guy? And I was like, well, basically, what I would be saying that her friend is lying to her. But the other thing is, I'm like, well, how well do you know the friend? And, like, is she from a military family? You know, and then you just get accused of being paranoid, you know? But it's like, that's exactly the kind of thing. Anyway, when you look at images of them, there's, again, the classic thing, there's maybe about half a dozen, six, seven, eight, and if you ever looked at GANs, the generative image thing that they use for exactly the same thing as that page, this person does not exist. What you see with these people, there's very limited expressions, and all his photographs look exactly the same. It's really weird. The images come from that site. But I'm in a funny situation there because I'm like, well, I'm not allowed to go on about it because I'm disrespecting this guy who she's never met. That's the other thing. You go, have you ever met him? You know anybody that met him? And she doesn't. So
that's the problem. There's a problem.
Friend of a friend.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the other thing with this is, there's that.
Hey, Rick, do you remember Carl Stevanovic got a free trip over for that? Europe for that?
Channel 9. Number nine. It was completely. It was, once you see Channel 9 on a situation, you know it's
number
fake.
Nine. Number that Bataclan thing was just so fake. It was so fake. You couldn't believe how fake it was. The woman dangling out the window,
and they had the military, the band, the Eagles of Death Metal that are all their parents.
That was nice. Eagles of Death Metal.
Let's not forget there are all
military men.
Van Tassel, there are agents in the field all the time that are reassigned. They're called LARPers. They do exist. They're real people. They don't need all of them to be real. They just need a couple placeholders to convince you that there are real people. I could say there's 100 people that died.
That one story is enough.
And that one guy can be in the community for a year or two. He might be real. He's real. For instance, even at my daughter's school, when they had the stabbing hoax,
The child that came into the school, nobody knew her. She was dropped in a couple months beforehand, mm-hmm. or actually a couple weeks maybe. She was definitely a plant. She was an actress. And they did the whole simulation. There's no doubt it was real. My daughter was witnessed it, but one of the alleged victims was the daughter of a police officer. So, you know, and she definitely was faking her wound, but she walked around with a Band-Aid on her neck for a while. So this LARPing is real. Live action role-playing.
Yeah, LARPing.
In your community.
Live action.
They're in your community now. There are plants in every community waiting for their possible assignment.
Let me ask Van Tassel. Have you ever met Colito Briganti? Have you ever met her?
I don't know who that is.
Colito Briganti.
She has a much thicker accent than
Golden Brown on the piano. Like you wouldn't believe. Yeah, she's so wonderful. And she's up there
anyway.
In Scotland, so you should hook up with her. She's,
oh,
she's
yeah,
very
yeah, because
pretty,
there's only
very,
two
pretty,
people
pretty,
in Scotland.
Pretty,
you must know
pretty.
Everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on.
That's a loaded one, that one.
You must know Angus Young then, Roland.
I've met him. I've shaken his hand.
I've met him too. He was at my high school social.
Yes! That's like me
come
saying
on, Frank,
you should
Frank,
know Mel Gibson.
Frank, recap
or,
the story. Come on,
thing.
Frank.
In 1974, at my high school social, we had AC/DC.
Fucking hell.
Wow. You are.
Did you know who the lead-up band was? Skyhooks, wasn't it? Skyhooks
were the big band of that time.
Yeah, that's right. And then, because AC/DC had, they just kicked out, what's his name, the lead singer, Young.
Dave Evans.
Yeah, that's right. Can I sit next to you, girl? Can I sit next to you, girl? He couldn't sing. But Malcolm Young, yeah, kicked him out. And then,
I tell you an interesting
yeah, they got, they got, Bon Scott was a, Bon Scott was a, sorry, Frank.
Interesting
Bon
thing
Scott,
about all of those super bands that came out of Australia, like the Bee Gees and
oh, yeah.
AC/DC,
the Brothers
is that they were all immigrants
mm-hmm.
that had come out with yeah. their parents for a short time. So, you know, I kind of think they're all a bit staged as well.
Oh, they were great days. They were great days. I've got every single AC/DC album. My favorite one.
Yeah. Olivia Newton-John.
My favorite album is The Razor's Edge because I've got a signed, AC/DC note, Money Talks. Remember that when they dropped all the money? Yeah. It was fantastic. And that's when Chris Slade was drumming for them. They got, and
oh,
Phil Rudd, rejoined them in 1995. And then he got on to P. Is P, is that the name of the drug?
I don't know.
Yes, it is.
He got on to the P and, fucked him up.
I don't think it destroyed him too much, but he was just a happy-go-lucky guy, you know.
Yeah, but he put a contract on someone. And,
said something on the phone that implied that, but it was just a joke, probably.
Oh, is that?
Yeah,
is that an inference or an implication? I don't know.
Whatever.
No, I'm just being an ass with the English language. I loved AC/DC when I saw them live. I just loved it. They were the best. And
I don't think they were that good in 1974.
Do you think they hit their peak in 1990?
I don't know. I sort of logged off. I didn't think that music was for me when I was...
What's your favourite AC/DC song?
30
Frank?
Years old.
Frank, what's your favourite AC/DC song? Jailbreak.
How about the new song, Who Made Who? Who Made Who? I kind of like that one.
Who? That was from Maximum Overdrive. I remember Maximum Overdrive. Yeah.
Anyone like that one?
Yeah, it was because your mate, what's his name, the big nose, what's his name?
Howard Stern,
yeah.
I narrowed it right down after you said that.
Howard Stern was so cool. I loved him in his pre-serious days.
He revolutionized radio, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
No doubt.
I love John Laws. I put Howard Stern and John Laws.
John Laws is a shill.
Well, look, I'm sorry,
is
I just...
shill.
Well,
he believed in playing.
But so is Howard Stern in his own way. Yeah.
Stern is a shill, too.
Yeah, you listen to his 9/11 show, man. It's ridiculous.
Hey, Van Tassel, who's your biggest Scottish radio guy?
Radio? I don't listen to the radio, man. So, I don't know who we've got here, really. It's not my thing. I mean...
The best Scottish music ever was... what's his name?
Andy Stewart.
The
wind blow high, let the wind blow low, through the streets and the kilt I'll go, all the lassies say hello.
Donny, where's your throuses?
Hey, Van Tassel, what's a Sassenach? What's a Sassenach?
Sassenach, an English bastard.
Yeah, you cunt. It's like you, Rollo.
I was born just below the Scottish water. I was born in Barrow in Foreigness.
Oh, that's shit.
Does anyone in Scotland even know who Andy Stewart is now?
I know who Robbie Burns is.
Robbie Burns.
Yeah. Keep going. I didn't mean to derail the conversation there.
You did, as usual.
Yeah,
oh, what a fucking cunt I am!
Van Tassel, you keep talking because you got a good voice and you got plenty of things to say.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know where we were.
Well, have you ever met Sean Connery? Have you ever met
Rick? Wait, Rick. How much is gas there in Australia?
I paid $1.40. And nearly fell over when I realised how much I was paying.
Holy shit! It's $1.07 here. It's $1.07 here in Newcastle.
I know, exactly. And I paid $1.15 last week. And in Sydney, I paid
$93.9 here. 93 cents here, which is way too much.
Is that per litre or per gallon, Ab? Per litre or per gallon?
We live in the Queen's Colony here. It's obviously metric. Come on, wake up.
Frank.
That's still way too much. They're only paying...
It should be $1, I reckon, at the moment. Yeah. I paid $1.40-something today, and I filled...
$1.40? What are you putting in? Premium?
The cheapest crap I could find, because it's a high car.
E10?
E10. E10. I put A10, and they charge $1.45 for me. So that's what Sydney people are paying, but and when I go back up to where I live...
E10 fucks your engine. E10 fucks your engine up. So
my car's got a sticker on saying it's designed for E10.
Yeah, it's because it's a new car, but they're lying to you because it's not good for your engine. It will destroy your engine, as far as I've heard from mechanics.
Yeah. Hey, Frank, if we put E10 into your plane... Can we do a transatlantic flight?
It depends if you put it in the engine or just, in the fuselage, I suppose.
We've got to get that thing off the ground. We really do. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
I hate having my open wound so mercilessly plucked every week. That plane. I never should have mentioned it.
You'll be right, mate. Can you sing us a song tonight?
It's a pretty good song.
You were supposed to be out picking up
out.
Young girls.
I've been out. Yeah. I went out to dinner with Luke Biskin.
Oh, did you? Tell us about that.
He went on The Voice, and then COVID wrecked everything.
Oh, so you didn't go out with Luke tonight, though?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Luke Biskin tonight, yeah. Jaws of the Jungle. Has anyone got access to some? I wish I had Bell set here. I might play it a little later on, Frank. Yeah, Jaws of the Jungle. You're in that video clip, yes.
I'm in that video clip. That's my 1 minute of fame.
It's fine. You were great. You were the shaman. Shaman. There's no shame about you, but
there's no shame in that. Right.
No. Exactly. So again, who's the biggest Scottish band in the world?
Sheena Easton.
Do they have a...
Sheena Easton. Frank, this is 2020, Frank.
Let's do the time warp again.
Warp again!
Oh, that's a great song.
What about the guy that AC/DC stole all his moves and every single bit about him, and he was a...
Chuck Berry?
No, he was a session guitarist, and he had a band called the... what were they called? He was... Everything about, they had a really huge song, and AC/DC stole every single bit of his style.
I know Angus Young stole Chuck Berry's style.
Hang on.
You're talking about musically.
Yeah, musically, AC/DC stole it. He was a Scottish session guitarist, alcoholic, who died of alcoholism in the 70s.
Let me think.
And he had a band, and they were tough as nails.
Or Rollo, can we go to fakeologist.com? Yes. I think we need a fakeologist injection into the show.
We do. Rollo, let's talk about 911.
Bit more of this.
Let's go to the blog. What do we got there?
Doing Mike Stoffing. You're unbelievable. Good luck with the virus. Your whole family tree is getting cut off at its root.
What a bitch.
My friends, I know my friends. There is a phone number in my phone. You know what?
Yeah.
So are mine.
Can you imagine you're going to Walmart, you're just picking up some vitamin C, and you get two Sheilas coming at you with phones. They may as well just be shooting at you. How can this end well?
There's no thing as bad publicity, is there?
Yeah, listen, when you're minding your own business, you just want to pick something up at the store, and guys are...
Kanye West is going to...
Hold on a sec.
If you want to encourage more audios like these, please go to fakeologist.com and click the Patreon button under the Donate section. For $1.19 a month, you can call yourself a verified listener, and for $9.11 a month, a benefactor, who will get a shout out every time Ab does a show. Thank you for your support.
I just think if you're not going to be a sheep, you know, there's nothing illegal about what the guy did. He didn't have to react, did he? You
know, he
stood up for himself.
But why did he even bother? Why didn't he just go about his life? Just live your life.
It only takes evil
to flourish for good men to do nothing. And I tell you what, if you don't stand up for yourself, you'll be bullied the rest of your life.
There's nothing bullying about someone taking a video of you, is there?
Oh, come on. That's as invasive as it comes.
The guy's not doing anything illegal.
No. He should have sang and thought he was on a TikTok video. Maybe it's some karaoke.
That probably would have been a smarter response than...
What would you have sung, Frank, if that was you? What would you have sung?
Probably Singing in the Rain, I guess.
Singing in the rain.
Something straight out of Clockwork Orange, you know, that kind of thing.
Malcolm McDowell, 1970. I love that film. What a film. You know, that was banned in Australia till 1986.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. The Goodies did a piss take on it too. Malcolm McDowell.
Rollo, you're like an idiot savant when it comes to culture creation, aren't you? You're just like a Rain Man.
I know it all. Yeah. I've seen it all. One of my favorite TV shows was Ain't Half Hot Mum, and Rickman over here. I've been watching that over and over again. I love it.
Did your mother leave you in front of the TV all day long when you were...
Oh, the Truman Show. Is that what you're doing, the Truman Show thing here, right?
I just found out, Rollo, the other day that Timbrook Taylor was in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I didn't even know that.
He was. Yep, that's right. Yeah, with Gene Wilder.
Very small role. And I was trying to think of the sensational Alex Harvey band.
Oh, okay.
It's on the show notes.
the song called
Val Clemens.
The song called
Okay, Rollo, go to FakoTube and play the Truman Show video I put up there.
All right, okay.
Just type in Truman. You can search for Truman. That one might come up if you search it.
All right.
Go ahead and play it.
Truman.
What it is, it's a clip where Jim Carrey is driving along, or actually he's just getting in his car in his driveway, and one of the lights on the set crashes onto the ground. Go ahead.
Here we go. Let me just press the play button.
Good morning. Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Yeah. Morning, Truman.
Morning, Spencer.
Hey, Pluto. No.
Hey,
get him.
He won't hurt you.
Get him. Yeah, I know. Just me. Come on, Pluto.
That's the light.
Yeah, you got it, mate.
Listen to the explanation, and he buys it. Listen to the explanation on the radio.
I will.
Right now he's looking at the light.
That's
it says Sirius 9 on it.
You got it, mate. It was directed by Peter Weir. Australian guy directed this.
Now he gets into his car.
Here's a newsflash just in. An aircraft in trouble
began shifting apart as it flew over. That's Harry
Shearer.
Wow,
luckily no one was hurt. But hey, how do you feel today?
That's the explanation they put on. And Mark, listen, I listened to that. Marcus played that or referenced that clip on one of his old audios. By the way, Marcus will be my special guest tomorrow night for our monthly return. He comes back every
really? Can you bring me up in conversation? Bring me up in conversation. Does Marcus still want to punch me in the face? Ask him that,
right,
please.
Well, as soon as I want to kill the moon, I will bring you up, no problem.
Okay.
And Marcus brought that point up. He said, this is how good intelligence is. Something will happen in the world, maybe randomly, and then they will put out a plausible explanation the next day. So, for instance, if they find that people are getting wise to a certain thing happening, listening to our broadcast, listening to other people, listening to the chat, this is what influence operations do all day long. They monitor the pulse of the nation, of the world. Then they'll bring out a story the next day that will explain what everyone is considering a problem in the media. So that's what that clip exemplified. That's what that clip exemplified. So basically,
and that's what I think this show is for.
Right.
Yeah. So Ab is Truman, or he's the god guy, the organizer.
We're here to help these guys plug all the holes.
Well, I think so. I actually agree with that.
Very good, Frank. Very good.
We are exemplary at spotting anomalies. There's no two ways about it. They're all mad.
That's right.
We've been accused, and our children are accused.
Only slightly mad. Now, how many listens are we getting on the audio chats? Are we getting 1,000? Maybe 2,000? It's not about ego here. I just want to know. Have you checked the analytics? Are we getting 1,000 or 2,000 listens?
I actually haven't looked lately, but maybe 1,000.
That's a lot. That's a lot of people.
That's okay, because we get the good people. Sorry, Rick, to cut you off there, but
that's all right. Cut me off.
No.
I haven't looked.
Yeah. 1,000 or 2,000 is fine. Yeah.
Here's something I was going to ask if you guys have got a view on this, because when all this COVID thing started it gets you all riled up. You know, I don't know about you, but I've got me so riled up, and you're shouting at the sky and knowing that's no good, and you know, you wonder about how many people you could stop and ask, and then you get a bit afraid that they're just going to get aggressive with you. Here's what I was, how successful or pointless do you think it would be to you know, if you were to take at least your local area and start putting up some posters, fly posting and stuff like that, just with really simple memes and stuff
I said the same thing. I think bumper, just bumper stickers, anything where you write the name psychologist.com, because people go, they'll look at it and go, psychologist.com. It's like,
Podcast.com. Put it on the plexiglass. Put it on the plexiglass.
All of it.
I just wonder how effective it actually is. You know?
I reckon it's incredibly effective because if you've got it in your car, don't you think? But if you're driving, if your truck had fakeholders.com, wake up underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you now, every car that followed you will go fakeholders.com, wake up, or go home. And some, not all, but most people go, fakeholders.com, wake up. What are you suggesting? And look at fakeholders.com.
Hey, Van Tassel, hi, I'm Van Tassel from Glasgow in Scotland. You're listening to Fakeholders Radio on fakeholders.com. Have you done that?
He's done it.
Yep.
Yeah.
He did a good one, too, and he heard his own bumper.
Excellent.
What about Frank? Frank, have you done? I'm Frank from takecareofyourpenis.com.
I think I have.
Yeah, I think I did a couple.
Come on, Frank.
I've never heard me come up.
35 years.
Yeah, why don't you come up, Frank? All we hear is Neil Armstrong and bloody I don't know. No, what about? Hi, I'm Rollo from Newcastle. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com. I've never heard that one.
All right, let's go to the blog and see the latest post.
There you go. Go ahead. Yeah, go to the blog.
You want to go? You're good at reading.
Yeah, for sure, yeah. Before I get too sizzled?
Too late.
It's all right, man.
Is this the point where we have to stop asking you what you've got in your hand?
Yeah, we should have. We already went through that.
It's okay. You can take the piss out of me if you want. It's Citella. Citella, it's a Shiraz Temporio. Hello.
Sorry, I was being more benign.
From Western Australia. So a big shout out to, Golden Skidmark, who's not here tonight.
Now, where is he tonight? Did he call in?
Yeah. No, we don't know where he is, but he's probably painting something. You know, he worked in oils, or does he work in, is he a watercolor guy? I think he works in oil. Yeah. He's one of my favorites. Well, my favorite fakeologists, apart from you, Ab.
He's a good man.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's probably, he'd be working painting a effigy, painting a picture of Donald Trump.
Just in the urn. On the side of a silo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, that was funny.
I have to tell you that I saw a post today. Where it said all the countries that have managed the epidemic well, all the countries that have made a total balls up of them, and of course all the countries that have done it well are ruled by women.
Isn't that funny?
Interesting.
Is it a coincidence, or is it just the fact that they just
gender war?
South Korea run by a woman?
So just saying that that the things run well is all you need to be run well. You're told by whoever it is that it's run well. The statistics are the same for every country.
It's just ridiculous. And Frank, the worst thing I heard today, there was a 93-year-old died of COVID.
You said 94 earlier.
Oh, but 94, sorry. Well, he was...
I am listening to you.
Actually, that is set in his 90s. I'm just giving my...
Oh, you're making it up. I knew it.
I'll say 91.
Ab, give him a break.
Oh, no, I like to give Rick a hard time.
Again, I'm going to get back to the point.
I can't remember what I said. You go.
But the statistics for every country are...
The same.
That the death rate, the overall number of people that have died this year, are pretty much the same as 2 years ago, and last year was a bit lower.
Less.
It's actually less. And if you try and find out what were the actual statistics of people who died of the normal flu, it's impossible.
Well, there isn't any. No one has died of normal flu.
They just died of COVID.
So despite the statistics for all the countries being identical, it's somehow people believe, and they just believe it, that this country is doing it better than that country.
Yep.
And then they show a picture of Boris Johnson looking mad.
Oh.
And, you know, so Boris Johnson is the pin-up boy for mad at the moment, is he?
he's like Donald Trump's long-lost brother in terms of mad-looking. Yet,
they're even made up exactly. The makeup you see them wearing is the same.
I think
everything
so,
about them is the same, isn't it?
It's almost identical. And guess what? Listen to this.
I'm fat, new or not.
Listen to this. There's been a thing for a long time about the dismissal, okay, with Gough Whitlam. The thing that we had in 74, 11, when Gough Whitlam got kicked out and we had the parliament change and everything. It's taken till now, and it's going to happen next week. They're going to release the letters that the Queen sent to the Governor General, and they've always said that they would never release those letters in public. They're going to be released next week, and it's going to be exposing the Queen as being interfering with our politics. It's another way of removing the Queen and or.
Well, here's the thing that you probably don't know, Rick. Then.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it was Gough Whitlam that led the bloodless coup that turned the Australian and state governments into corporations listed on
exactly, the exactly. That's what I'm saying. So there's something going to be big in the media, on the dummy media, the mainstream media next week that'll expose the Queen as being interfering with our politics. And so they're attacking Trump and the Queen at the same time.
More dog and pony.
Oh, of course, but it's going to have a big effect on the dummies. That's all I'm saying. The people that believe mainstream media.
It's going to take them off their
pedestal.
Complete obsession with COVID. No, no, the queen is untouchable. She's another. She's just another lightning rod for the elite that own most of the world. Does the Queen own the entire world? I heard 6.6 billion acres or dollar. I don't know.
Yeah,
whatever number you can have with 6
billion.
Is
I think it's 33
billion. She owns Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the country of Jersey where they hide all their money. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Exactly. Of course she does.
What have I got in my hand now? Wild Yak, Pacific Ale, 100% malt. Say aloha to the crisp and tropical beach.
Okay, what do you guys know about Melbourne? Is that a psyop about the 3,000 people in 9 towers? So one of my listeners...
say the name. Ab, at least you say the name right. And most Canadians call it Melbourne. Born to be alive, born to be alive.
Anyway,
Melbourne.
3,000
so
people,
he's
9 towers.
Here's a bit...
Okay, Frank.
They had some Muslim-looking guy that was saying that he was only about 30, and he got the virus, and it was all sick, and he was the pin-up boy for those towers. And the next thing you know, he's in a swanky dinner with the Premier.
Wow.
Dan Andrew.
Not contagious at all.
You know, what the collusion plus?
Mm-hmm.
So is that a real thing that's happening in the towers? Did they really lock it down?
Oh, who knows?
What happened exactly? Is that a real story or is that a psyop?
All right, let's look it up.
I reckon it's real. It's only five.
Rick,
districts.
I know you reckon it's real.
It's only five districts. It's not the whole of Melbourne. It's five districts.
We know your position.
He's actually talking about a group of. It's actually a group of housing commission towers. The housing commission.
Nine of them. Nine of them.
Yeah.
3,000 people divided by 9 is 3.333 recurring.
Dot, dot, dot. Funny that. But, I would say they are locking down. They certainly, I mean, how many people are wearing masks in Melbourne? A lot more than here. A lot more.
Well, again, I've got to keep saying that the Chief Medical Officer for Australia recommends not wearing masks unless you've got symptoms.
Here we go.
3,560 cases of coronavirus, that's 216 since yesterday. Numbers are once reconciled to a net increase of 100.
When you get your mixer board, you'll be able to boost the audio.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, he needs to speak up. Dan Andrews has got the most softest fucking pathetic voice. He needs a voice like
lying.
Mine.
Maybe it's because he's lying.
He carries a big stick.
Is that right? Thank you, Frank. Yeah.
I'm here to help.
I'm looking forward to getting back down there. I really am. Yeah.
if I don't need an immunopassport to get over the fucking border. Jesus Christ. You know, and the craziness that's going on in this world. Anyway, look, is there anything else on my mind? Did you guys see how Brie Larson, have you actually watched the Brie Larson video?
No,
I did watch
it. Did you watch it? Yeah, the robot head did. The guy, the Aussie guy, robot head.
Yeah.
It's fucking fantastic. She had like 4 frigging cameras in the goddamn, and she's pretending not to know, and she's directed a movie. She's, she's like, she's not, she spent the whole life in the bloody, entertainment industry. And I can't believe it that, they didn't turn the comments off, because the comments, like, I swear to God, check the comment section out. It's classic.
Can I get Frank to, address the idea that COVID is the new religion, because you're a man of the Bible, Frank. And if you go to fakeologist.com/blog, there's an entry one down, if you could look at it, Frank. It said IPS is a blog, but it take your time.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Bonjour, je suis Unreal, et vous écoutez Radio Fakeologist. Avec Adirato et ses invités.
Big shout out to Unreal.
Okay, so I'm now going to the blog. The blog app.
Yep. Scroll down to the second entry from the top. It says IPS has a blog.
Who's Uncle Rollo? We've got Rollo and Uncle Rollo tonight.
Oh, I noticed that.
Who's Uncle Rollo?
I like that.
Where? Where?
I like the new normal.
Look on the thing. It says Uncle Rollo is on.
Well,
two Rollo.
Uncle Rollo. Speak up.
Hey, from the North Shore of Lake Ontario, Canada, it's my main man. Psychologist.com. 1-800-5646. Come on, Tim.
Hello.
In the audio chat live stream, we have how to take care of your penis.com, out of top birthday. Hi, Frank.
That's good.
Give a shout out.
My main man from the North Shore, north of Sydney, Port Macquarie. It's extra Terry. Hey, Rick.
What about?
The party's only just started now.
Lawrence,
g'day, Joel.
Goodbye, Joel. I've got a Shiraz Tempura Loria. Hey, do you know about Count Dankula? Jobra is a Sudge.
You are the cheekiest bastard on earth. You are the cheekiest.
Jobra is a Sudge.
That's so funny.
Well, you know, speaking to noise level, he wanted to be here, but he's doing a painting of Jacinda Ardern, and he ran out of white paint for her teeth.
Oh, good one. Nice.
Oh, you're a talent.
Where's your soundboard? Come on. How dare you?
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you, Rick.
I'm going to finish off my new normal IPS has a blog and say,
yes.
I'm going to conjure Marcus Allen and say, instead of it being a religion, it's a cult.
Okay.
Yeah, cool.
Marcus Allen did a great show on all the hallmarks of a cult.
Yeah, I saw
worth
that.
Worth listening to.
Yeah, and I listened to that. It's not bad.
You can go to hoaxsyndicate.com. You can listen to, for $20, you can listen to Belisette and Marcus have a chat for 8 hours.
Yeah.
Uncle Rollo. It definitely has all the hallmarks of a cult, doesn't it? You know,
do you want to read a couple of those points, Frank?
Drummed out.
For sure, man.
The people that are in charge of the religion can say whatever they like, and they're infallible.
Yeah, do you want to read
You think my favorite person in the world would be John Laws, wouldn't you? But it's not. It's definitely Belisette, yeah.
You know, if we cut out all the story from Rollo, this show would be half the time.
So the new normal. Virus is the new sin.
Sorry.
Here we go.
I don't get that. I think not washing your hands is the new sin.
Sorry.
No, that's
sorry,
the... I just took a shit
and I didn't wash my hands, Frank.
Frank, have you noticed, and I noticed this, you go to any place and they've got instructions on how to wash your hands on the wall.
Oh, God.
It's like we're being treated like two-year-olds. Like, wash your hands, put your hand under the hot water, put the soap in your hand, wash it 3 times, and then take it out, then dry it on a clean towel. That is on office walls everywhere that I go to. So they think we're so stupid we don't know how to wash our hands. It's the same kind of thing you would see in a kindergarten. So we're
Ryan George said, do not inject that fucking stuff. People in America were injecting it. That Tide Pod challenge?
Yeah.
I like your friend Dr. Coleman's review of hand washing, Ab. Did you see that?
Yes, I know. What's that all about? Is he related to Dr. Carl Corinne's prison?
Ab's unloading a carton of milk to deliver it to a dairy.
Yeah.
Funny that.
Thank you, fella. You've got the best.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
COVID-19 is the devil.
100%. 100%.
400%.
Yeah.
110%.
I would say the devil is whoever the guy is trying to convince people that it's not real.
I can hear beeping.
Ab's actually working.
Yeah, some of us have to
earn the crust.
Keep the economy going. Almost everyone is taking from the economy now.
Well, I think we have money to shut the economy down, don't you?
Absolutely. It's happening.
I'd like to know the day of reckoning. What is your debt deficit situation? I'm guessing it's the same as Canada. Our debt, I believe, is going to go over 1 trillion. That's 1 plus 12 zeros.
It has to happen.
Just Canada. Our deficit for this year, our federal deficit is $343 billion. Isn't that incredible?
Ab, do you realize that what used to happen in a deficit just meant that the government created more money than it took back in taxation? That's all the deficit used to mean. And a surplus meant that the government took back in taxation more than it created, more than it spent. That's all those terms used to mean.
Hey, Ab, when I give my next donation to Fake Aid You, fakeaidyou.com, if I give you $12 billion, will I get a shout-out?
12 trillion.
Give you a $12 trillion donation, will I get a shout out?
I'll rename the site RoloTube.
The other thing that's happened,
RoloTube sounds good.
Is when you bandy these numbers around, when you bandy the numbers around so casually, they don't seem astronomical.
No.
But, you know, if you, like $1 trillion in even $100 notes, we'd probably reach to the moon and beyond.
About the moon. Probably.
Sorry, the moon where we're told it is. You know, it's kind of crazy.
You know what I watched today? I watched your mate Canadian, Jim Carrey, what's it called? The Truman Show.
Truman Show.
Right, movie.
Ed Harris is in the moon there, you know.
That's a great idea. Yeah. That might be true.
Yeah.
I might actually believe that.
Peter Weir, Australian guy, directed that.
So he directed the movie that didn't get directed by driving the driving the Daisy.
Yeah, oh my God, that was awful, wasn't it? He didn't get some sort of...
But he's obviously made man, because they're two really good movies. And
driving Miss Daisy, he should have got some sort of recognition.
Didn't Peter Weir direct the... World War One, Gallipoli.
He gets to make that movie with
Mel Gibson. With Mel Gibson back in 1981, wasn't it?
Yeah. Good.
And you know, Vangelis did the music to that. Come on, Bella, can you play a little bit of Vangelis for us, please?
No, he's here to make fun of us. Not to do things.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Not to do things.
You know what else he directed? He directed that other movie. You know the one...
That didn't get directed.
The one... You know the other movie? The one... Play that one. Go play that out. You know the one. The kid, the kid's army, she witnesses something. What's the name of it?
Aren't you embarrassed about how easy this is?
What was the movie? You're right, though. He did direct that, the Amish movie that
was... What was the movie where there was a car and it drove down the road? What was that one?
What?
Come on.
The Amish movie. What the... Fuck, was the Amish movie? I'm mad. I'm going to lose
it. The kid witnesses something and they go to the Amish.
Witness. Thank you.
Witness. That's right. And who did have it? Kelly.
And the Star Wars Chewbacca's friend.
I don't remember the movie.
Chewie.
Yeah, Jody.
What do you think of the new Star Wars?
It's fucked.
I still haven't seen the old one.
Oh, he's serious.
The new one's done by Disney, and it's run by Kathleen Kennedy, and she doesn't know what the fuck
she's
doing.
Let's do a shout-out to Napoleon. Hey, listen, have we shouted Mel Gibson out yet today on the show? I want to shout him out. Mel!
He's listening. And Lawrence Fishburne.
Mel's latest movie? What was the name of the production company? Here we go.
Shout-out to Samuel Jackson.
I want to shout out Morgan Freeman and ask him to reprise his role as Jimi Hendrix, please.
Good. Got a great voice, Morgan Freeman. Yeah.
Big shout out.
Great movie. Lawrence Fishburne.
My favorite Morgan Freeman film was Shawshank Redemption.
My favorite Morgan Freeman TV show was Sesame Street. I loved it when he handed up with Big Bird.
Was he Gordon? Did he play Gordon? I'm joking.
I think he was Snuffleupagus. No, that's okay. Did we ever find out who played Snuffleupagus? Did they ever reveal that?
Ernie Carroll.
Hey, can I ask you a question? Does anyone here
and
think
what?
That Sesame Street might have been brainwashing?
Yes.
I don't think. No, that was real. No. That was real, Rick.
Frank, I'm on about
listen.
That for years.
Bullshit, Frank. Please. Can you tell me how you got to that conclusion?
Maybe Sesame Street wasn't all innocent like I thought it was.
It was
but
not.
No, I want to know, did Bert ever get into the bathtub with Ernie? Because I was waiting for that episode.
Ernie!
Jim Henson and
creepy.
Frank Oz.
That was creepy.
I'm still trying to work out how Bananas in Pajamas got away with their gig.
Bananas in Pajamas are coming down the stairs. Now, I was going to say, this show is brought to you by the letters N, I, G, G, E, R.
Oh, now you're getting. Now you're out of bounds. Now
shout out to SMJ.
Oh, we're going
to
be kicked off.
Wait, listen. Listen, what that Australian group, the Wiggles? What are they messaging to the children? Wiggles. I really think that's creepy. Wiggles.
Do you know? Hey, Ab. Do you know my wife is actually related to the Blue Wiggle?
I don't know.
My wife is related to him. It's like
she can tell us what is up
cousin.
With that name.
It's her cousin, the blue.
Listen,
I don't want to say her name on
wig,
it.
My favorite wiggle was Tinky Winky. What was yours?
I like the red one.
Tinky Winky. You're talking about another show. Sure.
Yeah. Oh no, am I? Damn, I mixed them up.
That's the Teletubbies.
Don't worry.
I was waiting for someone to pick up on that. Rick, thank you.
Thank you, Rick.
Go, Van Tassel.
Okay.
I might have said this to Ab when I was hammered before, I can't remember, but when it comes to, like,
probably
looking at PsyOps and stuff, like the old ones, just because you mentioned Sesame Street reminded me of this. When they're setting things up and creating imagery in whatever way they do it, you know, in various ways, they would use the best people, you would think. That's why they always say Kubrick about the Apollo footage.
Moon landing.
Well, I carried down that a wee bit, and if you're into the theory that the 8mm film of JFK, that's actually just Bruder. A dummy in, then they would have been using the best people. And guess who was the best person and active then?
Jim Henson.
Jim fucking Henson.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, we've talked about that.
And then the Absolutely. Other thing is, a lot of the Apollo footage you see that's in orbit is obviously stop frame animation. So it made me think, would they have been using someone like Ray Harryhausen for that? Because he was the best in the business.
Oh, wow, yes. Yeah. Tom Baker was in a Harryhausen film. Back in 1973, it was called, what was it?
The Tiger? No.
Yeah, yeah, before he just got the job as Doctor Who.
You know what I don't understand? I don't understand why NASA destroyed all the blueprints to all the rockets and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Because they ran out of film. They wanted
I don't understand why they accidentally wiped out all the tapes with all the telemetry of this.
Because there was no more tape. Kodak stopped making tape that year, so they had to record over it. And plus, there were so many good reruns they wanted to record as well from the telly.
You know, it's really, I don't get it. It's really surprising to me. Because it'd be really useful if we had all those blueprints, and because we could go to the...
Frank, every now and then, of course, you know I'm being facetious, but... They give the public a slap in the face, like, are you so stupid that you believe these stories? Here's a really stupid one. Do you buy this one too? And really, that's what it's all about. It's about mockery, I think.
I'm sure you're right, Ed. I'm sure you're
absolutely right. Benny, you guys ever been to a space center?
Yeah, I went there. To the Epcot Space Center.
I was in Cape Canaveral, yes. I think I got food poisoning in the cafeteria.
It wouldn't surprise me.
I ate one of those space ice creams or something.
I just remember.
It was disgusting.
Van Tassel,
what were your thoughts on Simon Shack's, have you seen how he did the videos with the flying brick when it came back down? And it was like exactly the same footage, pretty much.
Flying
brick.
Yeah, look it up.
Are you talking about September bricks?
The magic bolt, Simon Sherrick, one of his my favorite videos of his, is, along with September Clues, obviously, but, the magic bolt. Yeah. Back when, this thing is ridiculous. How is it possible that it can fly?
And I've got another question for all you scientists.
Yeah, go.
You know the picture of the coronavirus? You know the red sticky out bits? Do you reckon they're getting more and more of them every time the picture is shown?
Getting more and more what?
Seems to get more, you know how it's got like a ball with some sticky outfits?
Oh, yeah, like an orange with a
covering
plate.
Every time I look at the picture,
it looks like a sea mine.
Yeah, it looks like a sea mine, and it looks like it's getting more and more sticky outfits every time they see the picture.
Funny that.
IPS said about those sticky outfits look like nuclear explosions.
They do.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Okay, Frank, you've given us enough questions. You better come up with some answers now.
But, you know, my answer is always, Satan rules the world, Ab. You know that.
I was going to say, now the answer is the Bible. You're supposed to say the Bible. Van Tassel, could you scramble an ounce of salt and see what words come up?
An ounce of salt, okay.
Yeah. Punch in an ounce of salt. I think you're going to get some creepy words out of that. Bin Laden comes to mind.
This will be awesome. I know it. Yeah.
You got to listen to the last audio chat, 717, me and Van Tassel. I think he was smoking some of the good stuff. And he scrambles words and comes up with other words. Anagrams, it's called. But.
Okay, here we go. Sure-footedly.
Watch out.
Counterplays. Winter plans.
What was the first one, Ben Tassel? Ben Tassel, what was the first one? Sorry, I think I walked forward.
Found her sure-footedly encapsulate. There's so many, you just need to spend like 20 minutes going through them and make a little list.
That's it. Oh, I'm not talking to him anymore.
Oh, counter spy. That's a good one.
Here we go. I've got one for you. What? I've got one for you. Britney Spears. Britney Spears. Mix the words around for Britney Spears.
What about Rollo? What can you come up with that?
Hold on, he's up.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
See, fantastic. Spears, you can get... Yeah, come on.
Brattiness?
Yeah. There's a religion. There's a religion involved. There's a religion
Uncle
involved.
Uncle Rollo, you forgot to do a shout-out to Velocet for his great production.
Oh, sorry, Velo. Yeah, thanks for Did you talk all over Velo's bumper there? Yeah. HoaxSyndicate.com. You can go there for $20 and listen to Velo go
the
back
best
and forth
radio here. Guy, you know, he reminds me of that Jew, well, the Jew guy with the big nose, you know, the one like John Moore.
Marcus Ellen Goldstein, yeah, Marcus Ellen Goldstein. He's all right.
Britney Spears, we've got Satanist.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Baptizes.
Yeah.
Parasite.
You still haven't got the one that I'm thinking of.
No.
I've got a pretty good one.
I'll let you think about it.
Rollo, here's a question for you. Is Britney Spears bigger than... Rollo! Here's a question for you, Rollo. Is Britney Spears bigger than Farrah Fawcett? Now that's a question.
Oh, Farrah Fawcett.
Is Britney Spears bigger than Farrah Fawcett?
Well, I hear what you're going... I know where you're going with this.
Farrah Fawcett?
Yeah, it's a loaded question. It's a loaded... Rick, it's a loaded question. can you name all three of the Charlie's Angels?
You're deflecting.
Jacqueline Smith.
You're right there, Rick. Kennedy? You got it. Jacqueline Smith. Who's the other one?
Carol Ladman later on, didn't she?
Carol Ladman.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
Cheryl was a lad. Yes.
Yeah.
Cheryl was a lad.
And one of my favorites, the, I can't remember her name, but she was my favorite. She was the last one on there. She was in the, movie The Beastmaster. Always taking her clothes off. What was her name?
Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. Listen back to this audio because they're talking to with that woman. Who was trying to take a thing out of a butt crack. Who were the three new Charlie's Angels? Like in 2000, 2001?
The girl from, the girl, you know, what's her name? The
girl from E.T.
I mean, I'm asking you.
E.T. Yeah. The girl from E.T.
Drew Barrymore.
Yeah.
Drew Barrymore.
There we go. There we go. We've got
the
one.
Asian.
Barry Drewmore. Barry Drewmore when you mix around him. Is that a guy? Is that a guy, Barry Drewmore?
I think Frank got that one. Lucy Liu. And then who's the other one?
The model that was in the very, very funny movie with...
She was in The Mask. She was in The Mask.
Yeah, yeah. What's her name? God, what's her name? I can't remember.
The one that had a hair that stuck up in the gym.
Yeah. I'm not going to tell you.
The model. She was also a famous model.
I can't believe you don't know.
Oh, I just can't remember. Give me her initials.
Her initials are...
H-H.
No, they're not H-H. That's Helen Hunt. You think of Helen Hunt.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't thinking at all.
The what's her name? And very great actress.
Beautiful.
I just wanted to pronounce H as an Australian.
Oh yeah, it's called Haspiration.
That's the only reason. That's the only reason I said it. H.
Yeah. Haspiration
is this a good?
Yeah,
is this a good audio to make fun of Australians?
Oh yeah.
You can take the piss.
Apparently so.
I don't think so. So. Be attacked.
You want me is this a room for an argument? Play that one.
I will play that one.
Did it ever bother you, the Sylvester cartoons? You remember Sylvester?
Yeah,
When he was trying to hunt the mouse with his son,
yeah.
You know, his son's
yeah.
name was
and
Son.
Oh, Father.
Did it ever bother
so
you when he was, did it ever bother you that he was trying to catch a kangaroo that was,
yeah.
he thought was a big
no,
mouse?
No, that was hilarious.
That always
so
bothered
funny.
Me.
That was so funny.
That always,
oh,
that always
Father,
bothered
son.
Me. You know why it bothered me? Because I knew, we all knew it was a kangaroo and not a mouse.
Yeah.
But he just
yeah.
didn't get it.
But I love
that.
Don't
be nuts.
His son used to put a paper bag over his head. Oh, Father, I am so embarrassed. You know,
it was embarrassing. Now, there's an Australian angle to that, of course.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Because you guys know your kangaroos. We don't have them in America, so we really, we're not in on the joke.
Well, let me tell you
now. Did you guys see the cartoon differently because you're in Australia? Discuss.
No, I
grew up. I didn't know what kangaroos were until Steve Irwin showed me.
We've got them hopping around here, and if you are driving where I live, you must be aware of these giant hopping things that come leaping across the
hey
road.
Guys, they're with Cameron Diaz.
Cameron Diaz, yeah.
I've been here before.
Absolutely.
No, this is my first time. Do you want to have as a full argument, or were you thinking of taking a call? £1 for a
or £3 for a course of two.
Well, I think it's probably best if I start with the one and see how it goes from there, okay? Fine. I'll see you three at the moment.
Mr. Barnard, but he's a bit conciliatory.
Hi, Mr. Barnard. Room 12.
Thank you.
Not room 11.
Room 12. That's the next one. That's the last one.
I've told you once. No, you didn't. Oh, just now. No, you didn't.
You did not. I'm sorry.
Is this a 5-minute argument or the full half hour?
Full half hour.
Just a 5-minute one. Thank you. Anyway, I did.
You most certainly did not.
Now, let's get one thing right here. I most definitely told you.
You did not.
Yes, I did. You did not. Yes, I did. Didn't. Look, this is an argument.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't. It's just contradiction.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
It is not.
It is. You just contradicted me.
No, I didn't.
Oh, you did.
No.
You did.
No,
nonsense.
Oh, look, this is futile.
I came here for an argument.
No, you didn't.
You came here for an argument.
Well, an argument is not the same as contradiction.
Can be.
No, it can't.
An argument is an exercise of statements to establish a definite proposition.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. It isn't just contradiction. Look, if I argue with you, I must take up a contrary position.
But it doesn't just say no, it just...
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Argument is an intellectual process. Contradiction is just the automatic gainsaying of anything the other person.
Oh, God. You guys enjoy that.
I want the war one back.
What one?
Don't mention the war.
Oh,
it's back again. It's back
they've
again.
They've actually taken that off.
It's back.
Oh, they put it back, have they?
Yeah.
Because the German what was his name? Gerard Berkeley, the guy that plays the major. He says a wrong word. All cricketers are.
I can't remember.
You know the word?
No, I don't remember that. Boring?
I do.
We won't mention it.
It's a troublesome thing in this days of age of Black Lives Matter, you know. Not White Lives Matter, just Black Lives. And that really pisses me off. The bloody lefty media, when they don't have a problem with social distancing when, you know, you've got that going on. But then you're protesting Donald Trump, oh, no, suddenly it's got to be social distancing. Donald Trump is like, yeah, there's no chance he's going to lose.
What about the soccer though? The soccer, they're not social distancing there, are they?
Yes, exactly right. The football. We call it football here in Australia, but soccer is an American term for it. Yeah,
no, that's not
fine.
True, brother. We call it soccer here.
I call it football. I've always called it football.
Yeah, but
you know, I come from
yeah, but where is here? That's the question.
In Geelong.
Well, and I'm here in Newcastle. Yeah, I call it football. But and you can call it soccer if you want. I don't mind.
All right.
It's the same thing.
I don't mind because I don't watch it. It's a ball. You kick it around.
Yeah, well, my when I was in England, I was born in Barrow-in-Furness, but rugby is
I thought you were born in the hospital.
Picked up the ball and the guys all tackled him because you're not allowed to touch the ball. You're not allowed to touch the ball. It's,
gentlemen,
classy.
I need to ask your permission to do a social experiment.
Go for it.
All right, do it on Rollo first.
Van Tassel, are you there?
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question? What did they call Postman Pat when he retired?
Pat.
A bludger.
Well done.
I said that.
What happened to Uncle Rollo?
I'm still here. I'm just listening. Postman Pat with his little plaid hat.
Oh, the other Uncle Rollo.
That was a what do you call him now? A paid shill. Paid shill called.
Oh, yeah. He definitely paid, yeah.
So the analysis of the social experiment is that people in Scotland are much smarter than people in Australia by about 20 seconds.
Thanks, mate.
Is Bello really left us? Bello, are you still with us?
No, he's gone.
Come on, mate. Speak up.
He's probably on the number 19 to whatever.
The best producer ever to who have ever existed. Way better than John Laws's producers. Yeah.
Way better. Yeah.
Exactly. He used to work for Kyle and Jackie O back in the day. I think he interned for them.
I'm disappearing because I've got dogs to look after, but it's been fantastic.
Actually, it's been a pleasure.
And walking fish.
Literally two walking fish. Literally. But they're in a tank. But anyway, that's got nothing to do with it. Yep. And they exist. So if anyone says there's no such thing as a walking fish, I'm here to say that I'm a realologist report that there are such a thing as axolotls because they exist. And they eat things.
Yeah. I think John LeBron is referring to you now when he talks about the realologist here. I think it's
true. I have to be, mate. Well, I completely agree. I am a realologist. And Rollo is a real person. I'll vouch for them. And I vouch for Velocet. And I vouch for Ashika. And I vouch for, who else?
When did you go on another date with Ashika?
No. She's disappeared. She's gone. But she's...
No, she was on VK's show.
Really, I mean, a date in America, it means different to Australia, I think. I think you just had a couple of beers. You just had a couple of beers with it.
Yeah, I certainly did. Absolutely.
Was there any romance there? Any chance, Rick?
I'm not saying anything. I'm a polite person. I'm not saying anything.
Okay.
I'm keeping my private life to myself. But she is a real person, very lovely person, and definitely... Definitely exists, as does Velocet. And who else have I met?
Because on the PK show, she was on the PK show last week.
Yeah, I saw her.
And she said she was seeing somebody. I was wondering
good. And that's
Rick, are you trying to say how many fakeologists have you met? Like, you were here with me, you and Velocet and Gold Skidmore. Yeah.
And
crazy good night, yeah.
Yeah, well, great night. Fantastic night.
I've met Del Qua in real life. I've met who else in real life? Would you call Guy a psychologist?
Well, he's a real person.
Well, he'd Fakeopedia, but, yeah.
Well, you've met him. He sounds real to me. So, yeah, he's real.
He's real.
And you've met who else? You met Frank? You met me.
Been down in Melbourne. Yeah, down in Geelong. Yeah.
So you win as in terms of psychologists, you've met the most of the lot of all of us. You, Mr. Rollo.
Okay, I can't wait to meet Ab in real life. I would love to have met the fellow from Talkshoe again. What was his name? Chris Gannell. I'd love to have met him in real life. Like, seriously, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And anyway, Marcus Allen and SMJ Sean.
Well, Marcus Allen kind of...
yeah, because I just like to be punched out by all of them. Yeah, I want them all punched out. Yeah.
Well, I think you're on your way to most of that from what I've heard. But
you can meet Marcus at his new at his, in his new country.
Yeah, we can afford that.
Are you going to go? $10,000 each, isn't it? I heard that, but I went on his website. It's $14 a day, I think.
Well, we can afford that. Rollo will go move in with
easily.
You can pay for me, and I'll clean.
I'm not short of a shilling. My father built the Tangara, so
he did build the Tangara, and I've worked on the Tangaras, and they are real, totally real. So yeah. Anyway, guys, I'm off. Good chat.
All right, mate.
Thank you, Axel. Thank you, Rick.
Thank you, Rick.
See you next week.
Donald Trump, what a legend.
Rick is always on time. He always shows up. I like Rick.
Oh, Lord of the Rings quote. Who directed that film?
Jackson.
Peter Jackson. Well done. We have a winner. Fantastic film. The Hobbit sucked. Big time.
And Joel was able to crash the conversation and then disappear again. How did you do that?
Who's that?
Hey.
Joel.
Oh, Belisette. Yeah. Use his pseudonym. I think he prefers that. Yeah. But thank you, Joel. That's what John Law said to him. Thank you, Joel. Yeah.
And we need to play that again.
Oh, yeah. Do you want me to find it? Here we go. Let's see. But when it comes to Fake YouTube, I think you've done a good job there, creating that.
Thank you.
Did you steal the software?
Yes,
or did you write it?
With that. It's good.
Yeah. Did you write it?
I paid for it.
Yeah. You pay for it. Yeah. You go.
So I paid for that software.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime he wants to help me, he charges me $30 an hour.
Pretty good.
So I try and do whatever I can myself.
Okay. Again, let's just go to the Imagine Poly.
No fascist world order. Let me briefly explain it to you. Every single thing we do, all the things we
do. Like, seriously, Frank, tell me what you think of the Imagine Poly. Come on, you listen to the whole thing.
But it was pretty, it was reasonable what she said.
Yeah, she's fantastic, isn't she? I don't think she's fake at all. And
I like
she gave donations back. The checks back that at the end. I like what she had to say at the end. You know, she goes through that. What's that platform that everyone's on? The Jack Dorsey runs. Yeah, it's called Twitter or something, isn't it? Yeah, Twitter.
What I was
saying
to you this morning, Rollo, was I liked the fact that she used a well-known guideline about what torture is, and I thought the parallels that she drew were fair enough.
Very good.
Psychological
warfare, that's what we're in, guys.
Yeah. It was
and
very...
And you're the enemy.
We're all the enemy, yeah. That's right. And that's when I get my new mini mixer and I can do something as good as Belisette does is... It's to show you they'll stand no chance. They'll stand no chance against me.
When you post the show notes to this, Rollo, make sure you post a link to that talk because I think it's really good.
To the Amazing Polly,
yeah,
absolutely. I've watched all her other videos too. She's on BitChute, which is harder to control than YouTube.
She's on
FakeoTube
too.
Yeah,
I put that one on FakeoTube. I think
good. Put it on Fake YouTube as well.
So
I watched.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
For anyone that's listening to, you know, to this broadcast, the video that Rollo's talking about, the woman
takes a document from
Amnesty International.
Amnesty International, where they write produce a report on what torture is and how you can understand torture and how it works, and she relates it directly to what's going on now for all of us. And I think the analysis is very compelling.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very good.
Yeah, it was 1975. It was 1975, so many years ago. I mean, I was only 5 years old then. And she noted it all up too as well. You could, if you look closely at the video, yeah, she, very clever.
I sent her $20.
Did you?
Just a mindless rant.
Well done.
Absolutely. I always support content creators now. I don't buy magazines. I don't buy the newspaper. I do get good information from people, and I support them. Everybody should. And if it's $1 a month and 1,000 people do it, they could probably live off that. So
sure.
People have to do it.
Well done, Ab. Pay it forward, man. Like I said, I gave you $200 Canadian and 100 Australian dollars. I don't want you to spend the 100 until you are onto your last coin. You know what I mean?
All right.
Please.
Everything I pull in on Patreon, I send it right back out to all the creators that I put on Faco to. It all goes right back out. I think I net nothing on Patreon.
No, that's good. That's good. I'm glad to hear you did that. Yeah, the amazing Polly. She is just, I've been fooled in the past with fakers. Like there was a guy called Ken O'Keefe, and there's a guy, I didn't really trust the guy. He did what are they called? Where you take money in from Kickstarter and things like that. And there was another fellow called Max Egan, and I think I like Max to a certain extent, but again, when you're in it,
he said New Zealand is real.
Yeah, I'm just not sure about the guy.
He said Christchurch was real.
That's wrong. So it's not real. We had a guy.
That's what he said.
We had a guy who's a video expert pull that apart. What was his name? The guy out there in Queensland. I forget his name for the moment, but he was great. He just took that thing apart. I'll note it down, and I'll thank him next time. But he's just an Australian guy who's a video expert.
I must admit, I haven't heard this. You're saying that the Christchurch earthquake thing was
No, the shooting, the mosque shooting.
Okay.
Yeah. It's all right, Frank. No worries. Yeah. It was fake. It was fake. Yeah. The guy
Marcus was I'm in 2010 right now, Frank. Listening to Marcus. And he was pulling apart the Haiti earthquake. Do you remember that one?
Yeah. The one where they went
there was only select
and abused them.
There was only select buildings that were rubbleized in Haiti.
Yeah.
But there was not one picture of a crack anywhere in any road in any part of the earth, which normally is a symbol of an earthquake. But
yeah.
It did give the United States an excuse to pretty much occupy the country in the name of aid and support. Right.
Frank, where were you on the, what was it, December 1989, where were you, Frank?
And after that, by the way, you haven't heard a peep out of Baby Doc, Papa Doc, remember those tyrants that were torturing the people in Haiti? You haven't heard really a word. Everything is perfect there now, I guess, because you don't hear a thing out of Haiti. After the rebuilding.
Interesting, isn't it? So what's going on
there? The law of the jungle has been replaced by a new world order in Haiti. No law of the jungle anymore.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there'll be nefarious things going on there?
I just think it's been assimilated into the new world order. And probably costing the United States Treasury, whatever that really is, billions of dollars to make it a client state. Is there a military base in Haiti now?
My mind to think about Iceland now. I mean Greenland again.
Yeah. What's there? How big is it?
Yeah, etc. It's so close to every country that you guys are at, but no one seems to know anything about it. It's weird.
No. It never makes the news. Are there even 100 people there?
Yeah. Or 100
million. Do you guys hear anything about South America? Because that's another part of the world we don't hear anything about.
Well, I've got a little flat earth thing for you about South America.
All right.
I had to book a container of salt to go to Malaysia, and that was fine. That took 2 weeks. And on the globe map, South America is the same distance as to get to Malaysia. To get a container of salt to South America, to Chile, to Santiago, takes 70 days and costs six times as much.
Okay. What's the explanation, though?
Yeah, good question. I wish I knew.
It must be taking the long way.
Very interesting. Real world.
But we don't hear anything about Argentina, and that's a very, we're told, populous country. Brazil we hear more about because they have a Donald Trump-like figure in Brazil, and he's resisting the New World Order by not buying into the COVID. And, of course, now he allegedly has the COVID, so I'm sure that'll change his mind and the whole direction of that country was going.
Yeah, they kept a few out, like Sweden and so on, so that they could demonstrate how foolish they were. Have you noticed that?
Well, you have to have foils in every play, for comparison's sake. Let us be clear. It is a war game simulation that they have foisted upon the world as real. It is a simulation. Now, a simulation is a model where they just base it on the one assumption that is completely false in my mind, and that is that you can catch a virus almost by looking at somebody. So it's quite easy to extrapolate with exponents how quickly, if it was 100% efficient transmission, that it could grow and would grow based on what they claim are normal human interactions. Now you have people that stay home all the time, like me, and interact with very few people anyway. You have people that are super spreaders that are like bumblebees in their normal lives and are bouncing around different locations. So they are put into the model. But because you can't catch a virus, there is absolutely no way the simulation could be real in the real world. But in the simulated world, you can have that virus do whatever you want. And that's how they get the numbers. The numbers are 100% simulated.
Things a matter of time before they actually say that we have to cover our eyes as well.
They're already at the breathing stage where they said you don't even have to have a cough or a sneeze. Just the normal breath that you take is enough to poison everyone around you. And of course, that is their main wish that they want to get into everyone's mind, that humanity is a virus. You being alive can kill the earth. That is definitely the message that didn't work with climate change, and now they're just saying toxic to everybody. And that is a tall order to convince people that they are killing the earth. But if they are able to convince a generation that they are toxic to the place that they live, they could easily collapse the population. I am convinced of it by very high percentage rates.
Now, did you see that Rachel posted something about the CIA projecting the UK's population will fall from 60 to 25 by 2029?
I think you just upset your dog.
I heard that.
I need to take her out in a minute.
I think that's on...
What?
I think that's
what
on
breed is it?
A doomsday called Beagle. I think it's on a Beagle. That's sort of a doom site. I haven't really looked into it, but they basically collapsed in that direction, in that model. Most of the countries, except China, and but what do you think, Frank? Do you see your children reproducing?
Not at all.
Or have any interest in reproducing at the same rate, say, you did or your parents did?
I don't see it happening at all. In fact, I was talking about that tonight with Luke. In the past, we were talking, while we were out, we might have seen 70 or 80, you know, young women, say 30 years old. Clearly, there's no chance that that Caucasian women are going to have children. That's just not happening.
Yeah. So what has happened? They've been convinced that
their
reproduction is harmful to, pardon me?
Well, they're convinced that their careers are the most important thing, that motherhood is just, you know, just a total waste of your life.
Motherhood is subjugation,
and
it's a dead end.
And, you know, the guys, they're not interested in having long-term relationships because, you know, they don't have to.
They don't have to support anyone except themselves and their bad habits.
And they can't anyway. They don't earn enough money to be able to keep a wife. It's impossible. The whole thing is perfectly done.
I won't say it's impossible. I'll just say it's difficult. I'll never use the word impossible.
Okay, but it's sufficiently, you know, when you combine all of the...
It has enough friction. It has enough friction that you cannot overcome the inertia required to overcome that friction. It's not easy enough, in other words. That's the inverse of what I just said.
Exactly, yeah.
Hey guys, before I go, I'm gonna leave you guys. Rick wants me to play this. A little bit of this. Midnight Moses.
It doesn't sound good, Rob.
Sensational Alice Harvey Band remastered. Go and look it up. I'm going to say goodnight, guys.
Good night.
Night, brother.
Good night.
Yeah, it doesn't come through good. Wait till you get your mixer. When are you getting the mixer? When's it due?
What's it called? The one that I'm getting off eBay. I'll let you know when I get it. You let me know when you get your donation.
No, when's your mixer due in?
I'll let you know when I get it.
When's it due?
My wife's in charge of all of that, so let her take care of that.
Send her a memo and find out.
Okay. All right, night-night, guys.
Good night. Thank you. Good night. Take care.
Bye.
So
anyway, Frank,
I think. You posted a YouTube video of a farming life in French-speaking Canada in the 40s and 50s or something. Do you remember that?
What did I post? Something about...
About how the French-speaking families of Quebec lived on farms and so on. Is that you?
I don't remember that. No.
Yeah, so we're really talking about people of sort of my grandfather's generation, and they lived
The Quebecois rebelled the most against the Catholic Church, and they became the first area that really had a super low birth rate. So they basically rebelled against the Catholic idea that motherhood and reproduction and should not do anything to control birth, which sounds like subjugation of women, but it is a survival doctrine of the Church and of humanity. You should not do anything to stop humanity from reproducing. So it's based on sound logic, but the Quebecois, I believe it was called the Quiet Revolution, really rebelled against the Church, and subsequently still probably have the lowest birth rate in Canada. So they rely on importing third world francophones in order to maintain their population. Quebec is the only province that has their own immigration department, they were given an exemption from, I guess, the Canadian Constitution, where they can control their own immigration. And the only way you can get in there is you have to speak French. So, because French is a dying language around the world, it's pretty hard to convince people to come in there. I don't know if they bribe them to come in or how it happens, but.
Oh, well, this particular show that I saw just talked about a thriving town at the time in French-speaking Canada, and
okay.
You know, all the farms and the family life and how wealthy they all were, and their country dances and children.
Oh, nice.
You know, people having 100 children each and, you know, really just growing
100.
And moving. You know what I'm saying? But they had several of the families shown there had families of 7, 8, and
10. No, I've never heard of it. Sounds like utopia.
Yeah. And the, you know, it was a film about, you know, going through a whole year of life in this town. Amazing. And in just really 1950, so we're probably talking about, so it's really in 70 years, that whole way of life has been totally crushed.
Oh, it's been overturned.
So it's just ruthless extermination as far as I can work out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, without immigration, I've told John LeBond this, he doesn't want to hear it, but without...
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, fakeologist. I'm Louis from Geneva, Switzerland, and I have to approve that everything that this guy, Benoit Claire, talk about, it's true, and it's the best I hear until now. See you guys. Carry on. Do the same. Kiss.
Yeah, Benoit's been gone for a while. I don't know where he is.
On holiday.
Yeah. On holiday from being not working. But yeah, without immigration, the economy would collapse. I'm convinced. I believe that. I believe that's true.
Well, there's no... Like, all the work here is done by students coming from either... Well, mostly from India, in fact.
Yeah, same here. I thought it was more Chinese there.
No, the Chinese are loaded to come here. They don't work at all. They just own everything.
Well, my idea was that Melbourne, the lockdown, if it was real, is closer to what China did with their coronavirus exercise. And because you're perhaps more linked to China than we are, they wanted to do what they did in China to Australia, and Australians must be beholden to China to go along with it, or the people on top.
But there's only one government, Ed. They're just, you know, we're here to be the raw materials for China. That's our job.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying the stranglehold China has over the finances of Australia might be enough, no one in Australia is going to resist.
Remember that all of the Chinese money still controlled by English banks.
Yeah, I agree that. I agree at the very top. It goes up to there. But the foot soldiers that are implementing the corona COVID military exercise still have a say in probably the execution of this hoax. So if you guys are more linked to China financially, your politicians, your top industry people, if they're more beholden to Chinese money, which, of course, goes all the way back to the family, then you might be more likely to do Chinese-style drills of locking up a city and really implementing the contact tracing, the digital passports to allow you to move. I just think you're closer to China and their model than we are, I'm hoping. We're closer to America physically, so I think we're more likely to do more of an American-style COVID exercise. We can't really go out of sync with our American neighboring states, at least where I live.
I don't know. I kind of don't think that country borders mean anything anymore at all.
Well, you guys, even though your numbers are super low, and we already explained that that makes no sense, but it doesn't, there is no logic to what they're doing. They're basically doing
whatever they like,
doing it despite the statistics.
Yeah.
That you guys seem to be getting just a harsher treatment overall. And I wonder if it's because there's more of a Chinese influence going on where they really want, if they really want you guys to be under China, then you're going to have to be more aligned with everything they do in China.
I guess,
more than
yeah,
us.
So now, now that I'm thinking about what you're saying, I guess the connection would be we probably have a much higher Chinese population than Canada or the USA.
Maybe.
I'm kind of
well, you're closer to
here.
China on the world map. You're closer. Your resources are easier to access.
There's really been unfettered immigration of Chinese people to Australia. There's been no block on it at all. There are whole suburbs of Melbourne that are entirely Chinese.
Well, I was just looking for an explanation of why Australia is getting spanked harder than over here.
I just think because because of the change in demographic with such a high Chinese population, I think you're onto it, that really we're obviously more compliant, gullible, I think is the word. I think essentially Australians trust their government, think the government is here to help them.
Yeah, well, I don't think you're any different than Canadians. No way. Canadians are... I ran into someone an hour or so ago, and I hadn't seen her since March, and she said to me, how am I doing, etc. And I said, well, I really want to travel and go to the U.S. And she said, oh, no, don't. No, keep the border closed. Don't go there. So they're convinced that the Americans, because of how the operation is going, at least in the southern states, they're convinced Americans are crazy, they're irresponsible, they're going to kill us all. So our border is closed to non-essential travel. I almost want to test it out, but it's a little bit of a drive. So the Canadians are quite convinced that the Americans are a danger to them. And they don't care if the border is closed until the end of time at this point. So the brainwashing, the mind control is very, very, very successfully done in Canada.
Yep. Astonishing.
Which sucks. It sucks. All I want to do is go to a restaurant over the border because my wife likes it. And I'm told I can't. Or I can, because I'm an American citizen, but she can't, possibly. Although maybe they could... I don't think they can legally deny me entry into the country.
I think the law is that they can't legally deny anyone free travel across the borders. That's
no, but if you're
reality.
A non-citizen... Yeah, if you're a non-citizen, well, good luck with that one.
Well, that's where I think is the biggest con, because the rules of the rules of passports and so on are simply that you are able to travel to any country if you understand what the real law is, what the commercial law,
maybe
the
yeah.
laws of commerce. That's the model being put forward by these guys, and I think it's plausible. And that will shake up the world a bit.
Well, no one's going to test it.
There are people testing it, yeah.
Okay. I haven't heard from them.
It's worth looking
at. Maybe they don't get it.
Like I said, I think it's definitely worth looking at that site.
Oh, which one?
The Empower Solutions guys.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll... I think you'll find it very interesting at the very least.
Yeah, I've looked into it a little bit, but I don't know if I need it.
Well, wouldn't you...
Is it an Australian-based site or American?
As far as I know, it's Australian-based.
Oh, okay.
The thing is, if you wanted to travel across to the USA, and you were able to do that, despite all the rhetoric, it really ends the whole problem for you, doesn't it? You're getting to go to your restaurant.
Well,
okay, your business is being trashed by everything being shut down, but in the main, if you've got freedom...
Well,
to travel,
if I had...
I mean, the borders basically are a fiction.
Of course. I agree. The border was not a big deal 50 years ago. It was quite free-flowing. Crossing it was... The hardest part was just paying the bridge toll.
And you complain about it.
Well, probably.
Yeah. So that's those rights still exist is the key point. And I think that my job is to see if it's true or not. And I guess I think it's everyone's job.
Yes.
And I just can't see any harm in testing the model.
Well, maybe one day I'll go check it. Right now I'm too busy to make the effort and then get turned around. I don't want to waste my time. I think that's the way most people are thinking, but I think most
you wouldn't attempt it without understanding how this law works. So, you know, I think we're a long way. I'm a long way from being ready to have a crack at it, but.
Well, even if you know what you're talking about, if the guy at the border with a gun doesn't, then it doesn't really matter who's right or who's wrong. It's whoever is.
Yeah, again, I think it's a matter of having a look at these things, I think, Ab, just to see what you think. They have been in those kind of confrontation situations, crossing borders in Queensland, for example.
Well, the payoff, the risk-reward ratio isn't worth it for me.
Sure.
The reward is too low for the risk.
Okay.
Or the risk-reward ratio is too high.
You wouldn't attempt it without being confident that you understood the logic and the mechanism.
But in addition, you have to be worried about how convincing the logic will be to the person that's blocking you. I can be super confident, but if I can't convince you who are blocking me of the logic, then I'm not going anywhere.
Okay. So that situation is explained by these guys. So your assumption that it can't be done, I don't think is correct. So because all police are trained to a certain extent in what they can and can't do. And they are covered by insurance. They have to have indemnity insurance. And if they do anything which endangers their indemnity insurance, they're out of a job. Because all the police and corporations in Australia and Canada are private corporations.
Yeah, I was talking about the Border Patrol. That's
same
Homeland Security.
It'll be exactly the same. They will be private corporations.
Right. Well, probably, yeah.
And so they, because they're private corporations, their powers are limited.
Right.
They can only deal with other corporations, which is your
my person.
Your I think they call it the CETIC Trust. But you as a living man, you're free to travel.
Yes.
That's the model.
Well,
I'm not.
That's the model. I've heard it so many times.
It
may not have a practical application.
And that's what I'm saying. These guys are showing practical applications and doing them. So,
I'll go to their website and look up border crossing, see what it says.
Yeah, that sort of thing. Worth doing. I'll be really interested in your feedback when you've had the chance.
Yeah, I'll try. I'd rather put my effort into Staco too.
Live your life. Thanks for the chat.
Thank you, Frank. Always a pleasure. And who's left in the audio? Rollo is asleep and Tassel is muted.
Too much wine.
Always.
No. That's all, folks.